Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, world. Hello, people. Hello, hello. Hey, we're getting ready to start a great show here tonight. If you have not called in, then don't, nigga. No, if you haven't called in yet, then why the hell not? Just ready to get this thing started here soon. I'm ready for a great show, I'm telling you now. We got my girl coming out. Oh, my God, my man, Lyndon Greer has come in, and we have a new sponsor, DMV Staffing. Son of a gun. Just found this out. Well, you know what we should do? We should get ready to get the show started. We need to start with some music. I know other people on the websites are waiting. Can you tell them to wait because I'm behind? I'm always behind. Why am I always behind? Who's listening? Who's following? Who's... Now, let me not say that because it might be the wrong people listening. Hey, guys, you remember the numbers 347-989-8310. I hope you guys are ready for a wonderful show here tonight. We just got a great show, damn it. We always have a great show, but tonight.
Tonight's the night. Tonight is the night. Tonight's the night.
Hey, let me see. Are they ready? Are they ready for some football? A Monday night party? Hey, this is Rockin' Randall Hank. Ready to get the shit started? And all my righty friends are here on Monday night. That's right. I don't see anything. Is it on? You have to ask them, can they see? Can the people see? We're always late. We are the most niggerish show. And then somebody told me that Stickam is going out of business. Going out of business? I mean, that means we're going to have to go back to Ustream. And I hate Ustream. I stream, you stream, we all stream for Ustream, I guess. I don't like Ustream. And they don't like me either. Well, I guess we'll have to go to it anyway. Can those people hear and see me? Can they at least hear me? Yeah, I'm not ready to be seen yet. Mr. DeVille, I'm not ready for my close-up. But can they... Let me go look and see. Can y'all see, hear me? Can they? I don't think they can hear me. Nope, because they're not responding. What's going wrong? It says, please wait on my end. Every time I try to look at it, it's just saying, please wait. Hey, guys, can you guys hear and see me? Well, not see me, but can you hear me? Let's see if they respond. Yes, they said yes. All right, then. Thank you and farewell. We are here. We did this. Actually, you are here, and you did this. Stickam was about you, not us, like most websites. After several wonderful years, they're saying goodbye. Damn, Stickam done got the fuck on. Stickam is closed, son of a bitch. When they leaving? Are they dead now? Damn it, if they not, they gone. How you just gonna leave and just
never can say goodbye. No, 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 no. Never can.
This is out of stick am.
Though I love to put my shows on your side, it seems that you had to go. I used to like to watch the videos on the side and see a nasty hoe. She would show me her big tits or show me her ass, and I get excited. Let it go. No, no, no. Motherfuckers do. Never can say goodbye, girl. Ooh, ooh, ooh. I never can say goodbye. No, 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 no. Ooh.
Damn, stick am. Damn, 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 damn. Stick am. Stick am. Stick am. Stick am. Stick am on roll the fuck out. Stick am. Oh, stick am. What the hell is a stick am anyway? How did they come up with that name? Stick am. Brr, stick am. Stick am. Brr, stick am. I need to quit. Hey, guys, if you didn't get to go see my epic rants today, there were some pretty good ones. I think they were. And I want y'all to understand, once I found out that Mr. Advise show had been fucking with my shit, I'm never going to leave that nigga alone now. I'm going to turn into Nate Dogg. Never leave him alone. Never going to leave this nigga alone. Never leave this nigga alone. Leave this nigga alone. Hell no. Nigga, go look at his damn Twitter. I want everybody to go to this nigga Twitter and fuck with him. I think it's at The Advise Show. Go look at his fucking Twitter. This nigga got 10,000 followers in 2 days. Now, he made a video talking about me buying Twitter followers. He got 10,000 followers in 2 days. They all fake. He also is the one who fucked up my website. It's at The Advise Show. I want y'all to ask him about his followers and see how many he followed. This is it, I think. I want y'all to go to his Twitter, and I want y'all to just go there and say what's up to him and ask him why he got 10,000 followers in 2 days. Ask him, how did he get 10,000 followers in 2 days if he done made a video talking about I buy my followers? They're all fake. Every one of them. Just go look at his followers. They're all fake. He just bought them. Now, there's nothing wrong with him doing that until you realize he made a video talking about me doing that. Come on now, Mr. Swole Fat. You can't try to out somebody and then you doing what you claiming I'm doing. Come on, man. There's nothing wrong with finding that picture sexy. I found it sexy in my damn self. I was like, damn. I'm going to play my song to this nigga. Let him know what my name is. Y'all be ready for the show. But for right now, I'm going to let y'all know this is what it is. This is what it is, nigga. It's what it is. Oh, and who was on the show Tuesday? Who I was on the show Tuesday? Before I start the music, who I was on the show Tuesday? How many of you guys were listening to the show Tuesday?
If you were listening, oh shit, that shit clearing a bitch. If you were listening to the show Tuesday, let me tell you what you heard. What you heard was me talking about a woman on HLN. Do you guys remember me having that discussion about that woman? Yeah, I remember that woman I was talking about that was on Dr. Drew, right? And somebody went and found her name. They said her name is Laura Barron. Well, guess what happened? She heard me talking about her, too. And guess what happened after she heard me talking about her? She wanted to come on my damn show. Yeah. You gotta love that. She coming on the show tonight, people. Yeah. Miss Laura Barron is gonna be on the show tonight. Ain't that some shit? I will propose to her live on air. Y'all are gonna hear it. I've watched. Y'all think I'm lying? I'm proposing to this chick. Yeah. Hey, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to play some of my music to get ready. And then we're going to ride out. This is what I want to play to my man, the Advise Show. Advise Show, this is for you.
I'm back. Hey. This is something for the ages right here. Mr. Marbury, baby. What's my name? But don't let the smooth taste fool you. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Do not let it fool you. Listen, they hollering, what's my name? It's the O-double, the realest, and all my true thugs. Niggas gon' feel it, I'm off that chain, dawg. I do my thing, dawg. And ain't nobody feeling you because you lame, dawg. But bitches love my shit. You don't believe me, ask your girl, cause she know that I got the magic stick. Thicker than the brick of that weed, nigga. It's me, nigga.
Get it. As a matter of fact, I know some niggas that soon to get.
in trouble when I bust my gun. They better run cause I be coming for these niggas yelling, I don't give a fuck. What's my name? It's D-O-double, baby. I hate to bust your bubble, but you about to get in trouble when I bust my gun. You better run cause when I'm coming for these niggas, they know I don't give a fuck. What's my name? It's D-O-double, baby. I hate to bust your bubble, but you about to get in trouble when I bust my gun. They better run cause I be coming for these niggas yelling, I don't give a fuck.
Hey guys, thank you. That whore. This whore is still tweeting me. Still tweeting me, claiming that I was trying to make it was funny. She said I'm trying. She's tweeting me right now while the show's on, claiming that I was trying to make a name off of doing a video about her. And the video I did about her was a year ago. But for some reason, she's saying today that I made a video about her a year ago to make a name off her. A video that she flagged down that I never put back up, that I never put her name on it. They flagged it down. I never put it back up because at that point I was like, I didn't make the video about her. I made the video about what she said. Now, if you go look at my Twitter timeline right now, this bitch that done claims she saved people's lives and is a celebrity is filling up my timeline. So I asked her, I said, dear, why are you tweeting me your video about me when, one, you claimed you wanted it over with, two, you claimed that I was looking to you to get some shine, and three, you made the video 3 days ago, and four, you a celebrity. You don't need to tweet me. And five, you mixed with a whole bunch of walruses. She mixed with a seal and a walrus. Every time I see that bitch, I start wanting to say, baby, I want you to kiss on the rose on her face. Ooh, I want to say that you look like shit and your molars and incisors is fighting. Baby, you need to see a dentist quick, cause your teeth look like they'll scratch the skin off my dick. If you give me some hand, and I would start screaming, and I would start crying, and I would ask you to stop. Baby! Why do I keep fucking with these people? Why? Wait a minute. Why do they keep fucking with me? Oh, man. I don't understand why they keep fucking with me. I don't understand why they hate on me. Hey, y'all, we're going to have a good show for y'all tonight, but I got to play one more song. Want to get myself hyped up. So y'all know the song I'm going to play right now. And if you don't, well, fuck you, because this is the song dedicated to everybody that's hating. I've made this song like 6 years ago, and the motherfucker's still relevant. Motherfucker, y'all
Big
know
Ben,
this song.
Big Ben, more Ben, Sick Jones, and now they call me Fire. That's right, it's what they call me now, nigga.
Fire, and I'm like fire on these niggas' ass.
Come on,
chill.
If you gon' store something, store it. I thought I told you. West side be the hardest, regardless of all of the stress and strife. I'ma try to hold on to my pressure like so if the cops come around to arrest us, right? Yo, they better be prepared for a fight tonight. Cause if it's on and something ain't right in here, I'ma do my best to make one of them disappear. So if it's clear, keep it moving, shawty. Cause we didn't come here to fight, yo, we just came to party. Then take somebody home, cause we just trying to keep it pumped tonight. And anybody out of line get stuck tonight.
That's right.
So don't let the suits go, cause I got something out in the trunk to shoot through you. It's funny cause I ain't got nothing to prove to you, and you don't really want it with me, so that's stupid.
Oh,
why you wanna play them games? Why you wanna hate on me?
You hate, dog.
I just wanna do my thing. Why you wanna hate on me?
Yeah.
I'm not the one to blame, so why you wanna hate on me?
And a damn thing gon' change, so why you wanna hate on me?
Why you hate?
Why you hate?
I don't understand. Could it be because your girl think that I'm the man? Or could it be because your mom is my biggest fan? And your sister keeps saying, cause she touched my hand.
No, I don't even want no beef.
And I don't think
really wanna see me on no shrink. I don't think you wanna see me pull in front of your place with the heat and pull that thing out in front of your face. See every different place I hit, six chicks wanna roll, but it ain't because of me, it's cause my record went gold. But back then when I couldn't get no show, at the same time when I couldn't get no hold, but now I'm putting up
eight type figures.
Now I got these white girls saying I like niggas. I'm guessing that's what happens when you're rhyme tight, nigga. That's why I'm trying to stay up in the limelight, nigga.
See ya. Why you wanna play them games?
Stop playing, nigga.
Stop playing, dog. Oh, why you hate, man?
I just wanna do my thing.
I just wanna
play you wanna me.
What?
I'm not the one to blame.
I'm not. Hey, wait a minute. I ain't not the one to
blame. Blame the damn thing.
Hey, nigga, change.
Why you wanna play that game?
Every time you do a song, you gotta say my name. I was letting it go, but now I gotta put a stop to that. Cause fake rappers get popped for that. And they gon' have to call the cops for that, black nigga. Cause when it's problems, I'm on top of that. I keep a strap like a dyke, you down in Nick Town. If you're standing around, then you're bound to get clowned. So look down, y'all, cause these jokers is wild. But they can't do nothing to me but have a coke and a smile. I know they foul, even though most of them hitting the white line. They might write tight lines, but they ain't like mine. So please, dog, don't even compare yourself. And you can talk about it if you ain't been there yourself. And if you want a battle, you better prepare yourself. I have your ass scared to death, but don't fake ass nigga.
Oh, why you wanna play them games?
Why
you wanna hate me?
Why me, dog?
I just wanna do my thing.
So
why you wanna hate on me? And I'm not the one to blame. Why you wanna hate on me? Ain't a damn thing gon' change. So why you wanna hate on me? Why you wanna play them games? Why you wanna hate on me? I just wanna do my thing. So why you wanna hate on me?
I just wanna do me.
I
am not the one to blame. Oh.
Ain't a damn thing gon' change. So why you wanna hate on me?
Duh. Why you hate, man? This goes out to everybody that hey,
fire ice, baby.
It ain't on. It really ain't no limit right here. I just really don't understand why you hate or why she hate. Why that nigga over there hate? Wait a minute. Everybody talking about niggas hate. Niggas don't hate no more, man. Niggas just disgruntled. Niggas just disgusted with you. Man, I just don't even understand how this all goes down. Niggas don't hate no more, man. Oh my God! Woo!
Everybody out there, hello. For some reason, the chat room in Blog TV is not coming up for me. I don't know if anybody else is having that problem. But it's not coming up for me. But fuck you and the Blog TV room. Coke Zero says, get the show started before we pull our sponsorship. So you know what that means. Yeah. That's right. Welcome to the February the 1st, 2013, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 5 p.m. West Coast edition of the show. Me, I'm your humble host, Miss Tom Sotomayor, and this is your world. Ball, I'm running out. Hey, man. Hey, they say they can't see me. Why can't they see me? Is Tupac up in this bitch? Them niggas can't see me. Ooh. Hey, we'll get this station ready in just a second. You know what I'm saying? Them niggas can't see me. Yo, check this out. Stay off this shit.
get ready to get started. There's always something that goes down, and it's never the girl I want to do it.
That's okay, though. Okay, we reloaded.
As long as the audio people can hear me, I don't really care about the video. What you mean I couldn't say that? That's the end. Oh.
Hey, guys, we are... Guys, we are live on the show. Why you can't see me, I have no idea. But they are going to get it fixed in just a jiffy.
In just a jiffy, Lou. Every time I say that, it always takes all damn day. I don't know what they're doing.
This is why having a black show is so difficult. You don't never start on time. And then when we do actually try to start, some shit goes wrong. Y'all know what's about to happen. They're about to cut y'all off and start you back up. So everybody who's there, wait a minute. It's going to cut off, but it's going to start right back.
Wait a minute. They said no, don't worry about it. It's not going to...
We are talking all through the damn. This is crazy.
Ghetto. Tommy Taylor Ghetto. Okay, what are you?
They see me? Oh no! Hey people! Somebody asked me to do it, I'm gonna do it. Son of a bitch! Welcome to the show, people. I'm happy that you are here. Hope that you are
happy. Happy that just follow me to be following me. Check it out. In the last show, people, we talked about, are black women desperate for validation?
Well, hell, that question answered itself.
Motherfucker, just following me.
Find the pit in your boy. I don't know why they're bored.
The internet gets in trouble.
But we talked about how black women are desperate for attention. And if you go read my Twitter timeline, you'll see it right now. Oh my goodness! They are almost in my. Let me tell you who it is. Laura gonna get married. Everybody that listened to the last show where I talked about the black women, call in the show to number 347-989-8310. Black women, let me tell you something. Should I wait till the breakdown?
There it is. You like how that came up. Hey, check this out. Oh, yeah. What the fuck is my Twilight cup? That's right. Yeah. And the casket drop. This is not Twilight. This is the Thrashers. The fuck is my... Man. Anyway. Black women, I want to say something to you. And then I got to go into the is it just me. I just want to say something to you, though. And if nothing else, you hear me. Hear black women. Listen. And listen good. The reason I say what I say, and the reason I am the way that I am, because in the black community, you have power. And there's two ways that we are going to get better. Either you concede the power to your man, which is anytime you concede power, it's never a good power move. It just isn't. So here's what's going to happen. There has to be an overthrow of the black government. There has to be an overthrow of the black government. Now, you can leave willingly and peacefully. But there has to be an overthrow. There has to be a coup. Coup-coup-pachou. There has to be a coup. Because we cannot continue to go on the path that we're going. Black women, can you not at least admit that? We cannot continue to go in the path that we're going together because we're not even together. The fact that you even look at somebody like, and I'm going to talk about this after the Is It Just Me because I'm not trying to lose my sponsorship. And we gained another sponsor. If you guys haven't noticed, we gained another sponsor. The sponsor is DMV Staffing.
DMV staffing. They pay every week, every Friday. No background check. And you can apply online at dmvstaffing.com. DMV staffing. DMV staffing. DMV staffing. I love the fact that we are bringing anybody else. If you want to spot, if you got a company out there and you'd like to be a part of this huge show, you know to do so. But thanks to Lyndon Greer at DMV Staffing. Go to dmvstaffing.com. It should be up on the website soon. This is all due to you guys. I mean, everybody, every time we get a sponsor. But what we're doing now is trying to open it up for the smaller sponsors so they can come on. Now that we've gotten a lot of big sponsors, we're opening it up for the smaller sponsors. And we do have some pretty good deals. I don't know exactly what they are. I don't handle that. But we do have some pretty good deals. So if you have a company and you'd like to get your stuff in front of a big audience, you can email them at advertising@yourworldmyviews.com. advertising@yourworldmyviews.com. Now I'm ready for the Is It Just Me? Because I don't want to lose that sponsor. Because, boy, we be testing the limits of Coke Zero, really. We 15 minutes late. But they always like what I say and what I do. So here we go. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Is It Just Me, sponsored by Coke Zero. Looks like Coke, tastes like Coke. So much so that you can't tell the difference. But your body can, because it has zero calories in. Zero calories. Coke Zero. Go out and get you some. I'm actually drinking me some right now. Go to SotomayorTV.com. Tommy Sotomayor. Y'all ready? Let's go. Is it just me? Or does it seem like everybody black is important? Now, if you want to break the word down, and if you've ever seen the movie Soul Man, they're actually not important. They're impotent. See, if you listen, I want all y'all to go to everybody's black that you know, their Facebook page. And they all graduated from Ball So Hard Motherfuckers Can't Find Me University. They all own their own company. They all are models. They all are actresses. They all are something than a regular damn job. Now, people, this ought to tell you a lot more about the black mind state. That it is a messed up mind state. Now, I know y'all want to laugh, but I'm being dead serious. Let me tell you why this happened. Every time I go to my white Facebook followers and friends and Twitter followers and whatnot, when you click on what they do, notice that their jobs are teacher, homemaker, wife, dentist, lawyer. Something that you know looks like they do. And they usually go to an actual college. I've never went to a white person's page and they went to Ball So Hard University. Where the fuck is Ball So Hard University? And how can I apply for a job at my damn self? When motherfuckers got my damn self as their employer, I kind of think that's a shitty job. I just want to put it out there, because black people, we are a nation of illusionists. Maybe our fathers was David Copperfield. Because half the niggas around women be trying to Copperfield anyway. So maybe that's our daddy, David Copperfield. Because all we do is put up an illusion. Pay no attention to the nigga behind the curtain, Mr. Advice Show. This nigga, excuse me, pay no attention to the nigga behind the bed sheet. In front of the bed sheet. But think about it. We just lie, lie, lie. Tell me lies. Tell me sweet little lies. Tell me lies. That's all we do. I don't see how a black woman take a black man serious, because everything come out of our mouth is stupid. We all we do is say we bigger than we are. You walk up on a nigga, he 5'9". He talking about I'm 6 foot. He can't even tell you the right height. How many of you women been catfished online? Catfishing ass niggas. Because all they do is lying. I'm going to start calling black men Mufasa and Simba. Because they are the lion kings of the jungle. We got to do better, people. We got to do better. We got to get to the point where we ain't got to lie like that. We ain't gonna tell all these lies. Why can't we tell the truth? Is it impossible? Is it an impossibility? I don't know. Y'all tell me. Coke Zero, I hope I did you good by this one, because this one was pretty funny. Although I wasn't laughing. Or maybe. It's just me. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, this, as always, brought to you by Coke Zero. Go to yourworldmyviews.com. Go to TommySotomayor.com or SotomayorTV.com. I need a teleprompter. Why don't I have a teleprompter? We got all these damn TVs in here. Ain't nobody giving me the words. Somebody need to write the words up and have them go up and down the screen so I'll quit saying the shit that I say. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, thank you guys for joining the show tonight. We're going to have fun. Remember, we are going to have Miss Laura Barron on the show. Y'all need to make sure y'all follow. I'm scared to tell y'all to follow her on Twitter because y'all try to holler at my wife. I'll be real upset if y'all try to holler at my wife. She is the sweetest thing. She just keep on, and this son Saray just keep on. You just gonna keep on tweeting me, huh? She just keeps tweeting me this thing. She has tweeted this video 9-10 times. I'm trying to tell her to stop. People are asking me about this advice show. The Advise Show, I want to make sure that it's known why I'm doing what I'm doing. The Advise Show has come to light, and I've been new it. The Advise Show is pretty damn dirty. The guy's pretty dirty. What he was trying to do was figure out everything I was doing. Then he led the parade of people trying to get all of my channels deleted. He also is the one who put the virus on my website. I found that out. And you got to ask yourself, what type of person does that? What type of person watches your every move, does everything you do? You watch him. He can't even do his video without doing it the way that I do it. Then he even takes the line where I say, roll the film. I'm going to do this and talk about the video. Why don't you go ahead and roll the tape? Nigga, you're not talking to anyone. Why don't you go ahead and roll the tape? This is the stupidest shit. Everything he does is me. But not only did he do it, he tried to eliminate me in the process. So I'm going to do what he does to me. Because if y'all notice, like when I put up any video, there's an immediate thumbs down. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to troll the shit out of him. I'm going to do it, and I want y'all to join me. Yes, it's a call to arms. I want y'all to join me. Troll the shit out of him like he did me. Every time I put up a video, there's a thumbs down. Troll the shit out this nigga like he did me until he stops. As long as he's fucking with me, fuck with him. I'm tired of being the dude that just sits back and watch my stuff get deleted. I'm sick of that. I'm sick of being the only one getting screwed with all day. I'm sick of that. So now every video he put up, immediately, thumbs down. I'm letting him know, Mr. Swole Fat, if the first thumbs down you get on your shit, it's probably coming from me. And I'm going to keep making videos to let everybody know what it is you doing and why you do it. Because I'm upset. You mess with me. You mess with my job. You mess with my family. And you did all this because you wanted to be me that bad. You was a sneaky, slimy son of a gun. I'm trying to watch my mouth because my wife is about to come on. And y'all know whenever I bring on the snow people, I got to act different. I got to watch my language. We're going to have beautiful mixed children. And y'all going to love them. Y'all going to say, wow, those are some beautiful kids. Those kids are beautiful. She's texting me now. Hey, handsome. After the show, whoa. I can't read that. Anyway. Y'all gonna love our black kids. Y'all are going to love mine and Laura's black children. They are gonna be black. And they are going to be head of the NAACP, head of the Black Student Union. They're going to run BET. They're going to host shows on BET. Beautiful black children. And if God shows us the favor, they're going to turn out this color. They're going to come out looking like they mama. And I'm going to love them. I'm going to brush their hair. Everywhere we go in public, I'm going to brush on their hair. Just brush on their hair. Just brush it all day. And y'all are going to love them. Y'all are going to see me with my babies. And y'all are going to say, oh, those babies are so pretty. And I'm going to name these babies. Casey, we're going to have twins. I'm going to name, it's going to twin girls. I'm going to name one of them Casey and one of them Jody. Casey Anthony Sotomayor and Jody Arias Sotomayor. And my two damn kids, yes, I'm going to name them Casey and JoJo. Thank you. Casey and JoJo. Yes, y'all think on y'all feet. I like that. My audiences, that's why I like talking to y'all. I can't kick a joke without y'all getting it. Now y'all starting to kick the jokes before I get it. Casey and JoJo. And me and Laura are going to show up around the world. We're going to speak at the Million Man March. And I'm going to hold her and I'm going to kiss her and I'm going to say, fellas, this is how you get what you want when you have a beautiful woman by your side who's down for the cause. Then we're going to show up at the Martin Luther King parade. And I'm going to give a speech. I have a dream that one day black men and white men, rich men and poor men, all across this great land of ours, will come home to their mama and look their mama in the eyes and say, mama, I have found love. I have found joy. I have found peace and serenity. And it is in the arms and between the legs of a white woman. And somebody gonna say, how could you date a white woman? They ain't shaped like black women. And I'm going to turn my wife around. And I'm going to say, see that ass? See that ass? Thank God Almighty, I love this ass. I'm going to hell. We are going to be the blackest couple alive. And all all of our mixed children are going to be able to go to modeling shoots and go onto magazines and TV shows and actually say with pride what other people cannot say, which is, I am mixed. And not be like Miss Sun Saray, who says that she is mixed with Indian and Caucasian. Why would you tweet this out in public? Listen, guys, you know how ridiculous what she said was? What she said was so ridiculous that a woman on Twitter who said, and I quote, "I've never liked your message. It seems like you bash black women. But after seeing this tweet from Sansa Ray, I now understand why." A black woman asked Sansa Ray, "What are you mixed with?" Sansa Ray said, "Indian and Caucasian." Sansa Ray and I are the exact same color. I want to ask y'all something. Have y'all noticed how many black women have said, "Tommy, I used to not like what you say"? "I used to have a problem with what you say." Now they say, "I was wrong." Now they say, "I get what your point is." It's a shame that people have to first walk out and be like, you know, "Tommy's mean." And then they turn around and they realize Tommy's telling the truth. I don't make stuff up. And I'm not just trying to be mean. And this chick told me she gonna keep tweeting me for a month, is what she said. Sansa Ray, y'all can go look on my Twitter timeline. If you're not following me on Twitter, then I'm gonna kick your ass. If you don't have a Twitter, then you need to get one. Get on Twitter and follow me and quit trying to add my personal page. Y'all kill me with that. I'm not adding you on my personal page. That's how it keeps getting blocked every 30 days. Every 5-10 days. It get blocked every, I'm on it for like 5-10 days. Then I got to go 30 days without ever having to post nothing because I get my stuff blocked. And then the next thing you know, everybody else is sitting up there talking about, "So I don't know where you went." I got a fan page. Go get on my fan page and quit trying to get on my regular page. I don't trust people who want to get on my regular page anyway. You can say what you got to say to me. You can say it to them. Unless it's a nude picture, then just email it. I mean, really. Y'all was slipping in the month of January. Y'all wasn't sending no good nude pictures. I'm going to tell y'all now, for everybody out there, y'all was slipping in the month of January. The nude pictures I was getting was pretty bad. If I had to rate my January, it's about a 6. My 6, it was pretty bad. I didn't like what I was getting. Some of y'all shouldn't have had no camera in your hands. Some of y'all was sending some bad looking pictures. Fuck around. I was eating breakfast one time when I opened up one of them emails. Come on now. You gotta stop. Y'all know that you got body parts that should be shown and not other shit. You know who you are.
Oh, yeah. Who?
Miss Big Stuff. Go to the gym before you send me your midsection. I'm show y'all a picture. Can I show them? I'm going to show them a picture. Because I just got to send this. This is just wrong. I'm not going to put y'all out there like that. Everybody else know that I'm not going to put y'all out there like that. But I got to put this chick out here because she sent me a picture. And she was wrong. Can I get this picture up here? How can I get it up? Come on now. You sent me that. Now, come on now. Now I like titties, and she got a nice pair of titties. But why you got a beer gut? Why you send me the beer gut? Just focus on the tits. Focus on the tits. But no, you want to send me the beer gut too. Now, I guess I can't get mad because at least you know what you're getting or what you ain't getting. Because them titties is huge. I like, y'all know I like them round and big. And when I'm doing a gig, I just can't help myself. I'm acting like an animal. Now here's my scandal. I'm going to get you home and double up. I ain't talking about Playboy. Oh. But all that other shit, don't send me that. Everybody know they got good parts and bad parts, right? Like when you write a resume. You don't write the bad shit that happened in your work experience on your resume. You keep that to yourself. Well, keep that gut to yourself. I don't want to see that. Ain't nobody got time for that. I want to go to my email, open up a pack of wings, eat them, smile, get me some lotion, close the door, take a peek. If ain't nobody coming, I'ma beat my meat. Feel so good. Feel so good. Come on, sing it with me. Now, but I don't have no problem with some nice pictures. If you just focus on the breast, I know. Be smart. If you got a nice butt, but all that other stuff is ugly, show me the picture of the butt and give me the thumbs up on the next picture, and I'll be like, that's nice. You got a nice breast? There's some people who just sent me a bunch of pictures of their face. I know the rest of that shit is crappy. Beautiful woman. They're a bunch of beautiful. I'm going to tell you what. I don't know if y'all know this. Romanians are beautiful. They were voted the most beautiful women on the planet. There's a woman. Y'all know, y'all remember somebody came over to this chat room and was like, dude, you need to go over to they were like, you need to go over to Blog TV. There's a Romanian woman over there, and she is beautiful. She keep calling you. And I didn't know what they were talking about, so I went over there, and good Lord of mercy. Lord of mercy. That chick was, oh, my goodness. And I said, she don't look like that for real. Man, she turned the camera on. Good night. Just sitting up there just pretty. Talking about, hey, I said, son of a bitch. I love your show. I love you, white woman. I love you. Oh, my goodness. She could say, you're so handsome. No, you're beautiful. What you saying to me is bullshit. You haven't learned English yet. You don't know what handsome means. But, oh, my God. And then she started talking. And, and I don't know if anybody else, you remember in the last show we talked about accents. Everybody got a fetish for accent. Man, you ain't never had a fine woman talk to you until she sound like Dracula. I thought it was Bram Stoker on that motherfucker over there. She was talking. I said, that's how them white women get you. They get to talking. And men, we ain't never heard nobody talk like that. That motherfucker said, good evening. Hey, motherfucker, Count Chocolate in this motherfucker. What? What are they talking to Countess Chocula? Man, she sound great. She said, I'd love for you to come to Romania. I said, I'll drive out there next week. She talking about you can't drive to Romania. I said, damn if I can't. I know a shortcut. The Bering Strait freezes over every winter. And you can drive across the Bering Strait. Right in. I will drive across the Bering Strait. Hear me? I will drive across that bitch. Yeah, I don't know whoever went over there and saw that woman. That is one of the most beautiful women I've ever seen. That was crazy. I told her I could either do that or I could get in one of them Fiats because I saw the commercial where the Fiat came from Italy. It just dropped in the water and it came out in America. I'm going to give me a Fiat. Go right in the Atlantic Ocean. Come the fuck out over there in Spain. Drive my way on over. She said, I saw you and fell in love. I said, I saw you and felt the same way. My goodness. Then I went and looked them up. I don't know nothing about Romania. All I know is Vlad Dracul. Vlad Dracul. Dracul. That's all I know. Beautiful woman. But I got a lot of fans on a lot of places and a lot of women. And you got to ask, why do women like what I say? I don't care if she want a green card. The black women in America want an American Express card or a black card. They want some card. Everybody want a card, a Visa card. The good thing about buying one of them chicks from over there, they'll do it for at least 7-10 years. They will treat you right. Because how long it take to get a green card? So I'll get to enjoy that chick for 7-10 years. By the time she get the green card, she be done got old anyway. Ladies and gentlemen, we're about to go to a break. And we're going to come back with the lovely, the beautiful Miss Lauren Barron. I'm telling y'all, I'm going to enjoy this interview so much. You're going to see me smiling from ear to ear. And as dark as I am, all you're going to see is teeth. And I'm going to be so happy when I do this interview. So, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to go to a break. We'll be right back. Remember, the number is 347-989-8310. I'm looking forward to a great show with you guys tonight. We'll be taking calls right after Lauren. Y'all know who I am? Y'all know who this is. This is your world.
Stay tuned for more Your World, My Views, the realest show on internet radio with your host, Tommy Sotomayor. Keep it.
What up, everybody? It's your boy, Tommy Sotomayor. This is a message to the loyal following out there. You know and I know there's nothing better than a nice, well-dressed man in a suit. Now, with the budgets being as tight as they are, a lot of people cannot afford a nice suit. Well, that's untrue because my friends at CustomSuitShop.com have made the custom suit available and affordable for all price ranges and all budgets. That's right. Go to CustomSuitShop.com. They believe that they're witnessing the return of the elegant gentleman, and they are dressing up again. They want clothing that fits right and is comfortable and looks great and makes a value statement. That's what my man Louis Morgan of CustomSuitShop.com wants everyone to know. See, what they can do is they can come to your home, perform 20 key measurements, and then hook you up with a custom suit. You know people getting tired of wearing suits off the rack. Not saying there's nothing wrong with suits off the rack, But how would you like to have a custom suit made to fit you, the way your body contours, the way you move? That's what you can get at the Custom Suit Shop. Go to CustomSuitShop.com. There are three locations. They have one in Marietta at 1395 South Marietta Parkway, Building 100. One in Charlotte, North Carolina. Oh, South Towers. Then they have another one in Birmingham, Alabama. That's right. Three locations where you can get your custom suit made. So go to CustomSuitShop.com and make sure that you mention Tommy Sotomayor sent you. CustomSuitShop.com, where with prices like these, you can't afford not to look good. Just log on at CustomSuitShop.com. That's CustomSuitShop.com. And call at 404-869-3113 if you're in the Atlanta area. If you're in the Birmingham area, call it 205-541-9469. And if you're in the Charlotte area, call 704-552-3690. And tell them Your World My Views sent you.
I knew I needed to talk to somebody about money when I opened my design shop.
When Mom got sick,
my daughter is engaged already.
I felt sort of stuck.
I went to SunTrust.
I just wanted to talk to someone.
And they listened.
Helped me see options I didn't know I had.
Now I'm moving forward.
Now I can focus on what's really important.
I'm better off than I thought.
At SunTrust, we're here to help you find the answers you're looking for.
This is my baby girl.
That's why we start every conversation with, how can we help you?
It's your money. Use it when you need it.
After working here for a few years, I knew it was time to move on. But I wasn't the only one trying to start their career. And everyone else was way more qualified. When I finally found a job I could get,
birthday!
I was pretty much back where I started. Then I saw a commercial for Westwood College and decided to give them a call. At Westwood, I got my bachelor's degree in just 3 years. I got career training in the classroom, and they helped me build my resume. So when I graduated, I had everything I needed to finally start my career.
Start your career with a bachelor's degree from Westwood College. Graduate in just 3 years with the tools you'll need to start a career in design, justice, technology, healthcare, or business, including construction management. Call now for your free career success kit and learn about the careers and salaries that could be yours with a Westwood College degree. Online classes are available.
And now, back to the show where truth is king. And logic reigns supreme. Your world, my view. Your hope, Mr. Tommy Sotomayor.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the show. I'm your host, Black Billy Graham. You can call me Tommy Sotomayor. And this is Your World. Welcome back. Can they see me? I hope they can. Guys, I'm ready for what is sure to be like my most favoritest guest ever. Don't you laugh at me.
Yeah.
Let me give you a proper introduction here.
Shall we?
Now, all right. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you may not know who this young lady is. She's a life coach of woman's empowerment. She's a TV host, motivational speaker, pundit,
a host of A&E's Monster in Law, VH1's You're Cut Off, and a Today Show contributor. And she's a proud woman. We're going to talk about that, Miss Laura Barron. Laura, how are you doing?
I am fantastic, Tommy. How are you doing?
I am well. What is a proud woman?
I just like being a woman, Tommy. I grew up in a single mama household where I was taught that women can be and do anything. And I have female clients that teach me every day that that's true.
Wow. Okay. Okay. So a proud woman. Are you, just asking, are you a feminist? Would you be what would be called a feminist?
I am a feminist and I believe in the power of women. I am a feminist that I believe that we should have an equal, that we should have equal rights in the workplace, that we should get the same amount of money, that we deserve the same amount of respect. I do not believe, however, that being a feminist is being anti-man.
Ah, that's good, because I would have been really hurt if you were anti-man.
Yeah.
Now, I got to ask you something when it comes to feminism, because we talk about that a lot, and then I want to ask you more about what it is you're doing. When it comes to feminine, can the two hold together? Like, can you be a feminist woman and not have it to where either someone has to relinquish power or someone ends up getting more power in that struggle?
That's a great question. That is a great question, Tommy. And it really depends on what you're defining to be a feminist woman. I mean, a woman who holds her power and who can be sensual, who can be loving, who can embrace her femininity and still own her strength, is the best kind of woman to be. And it really, it's an internal struggle for women as well, my friend, you know, to be able to walk out and stomp in your heels and still remember to take a step back and let that man open your door.
Ah, I like it. See, that seems to be the biggest part of it that a lot of people have a huge issue with, is walking that fine line of being the self-empowered woman and then falling over the cliff and being that I don't need a man type woman. How do you stay on that cliff and not fall over?
I actually speak about this quite a bit. And it is, you're right, it's a very delicate balance. And it is always checking your softer side and allowing in your personal world to be vulnerable and to give yourself permission to, you know, sometimes even be needy, to get your emotions fulfilled. I think everybody, not just women, are walking around so, shall we say, paranoid or vulnerable that if they open up that they're going to get hurt. And we all are going to get hurt. And if we get hurt, it means doing the work.
Yeah. I like that. Now, for the people out there who don't know, we are with Laura Barron. And if you want to follow her on Twitter, it's at Ask Laura Barron. That's AskLauraBaron. Now, how long have you been a life coach? And explain to us what exactly.
So for over 15 years, a life coach is different than a therapist in that it doesn't go back to talk to me about your daddy. It talks to me. We talk about what's going on in your present day life and catapulting you to the next level. I deal with powerful women that want to get to their next stage, to embrace their femininity and own their lives. And it's been pretty amazing. I mean, it's been an amazing, amazing ride, Tommy.
Okay. Now, first off, it seems like you haven't even been alive much longer than 15 years, so that's impressive.
This is very true. I am 16 years old, and I learned a lot in a year.
Yes, I can believe it. I can believe it. Now, it's funny. I spent probably like 30 minutes on Tuesday talking about you. I was just in the studio. The TVs are on in here, and I was looking, and I said, oh, my God, this is the most beautiful woman I've ever seen on television. And I just kept going. I like went on a tangent. I pulled a Brent Musburger, as I said. Now, how often is it with you? And I got to ask, how often is it with you that as a woman of such beauty, is it difficult for some people to take you seriously? Has it closed more doors than it opened, or vice versa? And how do you, again, use it to your advantage, or have you ever used it to all of that that comes along with being that beautiful and then being in the profession that you're being? How has it helped and hurt you?
Well, first of all, thank you. That's very sweet. And I do not come from a family that celebrates external at all, at all. As a matter of fact, it's probably the last thing that my family thought about. So I grew up with a healthy self-esteem, but I never grew up feeling like I was walking into the world as a beautiful woman. I felt like I was walking into the world as a powerful person. I felt like I was walking into the world as a caring individual, as a beautiful soul, if you will. But, you know, listen, I'm not blind, and, you know, the world is an aesthetic place. And I think that we all use what we've got, and we should all use what we've got in every way that we can. You know, I've never been defined by my looks, and I don't know how it would help or hurt me. I know it's been a gracious world out there, and I know that I've also never messed anybody over. You know, I'd like to say that it's because I didn't do that, but that's why I get good treatment, as I treat others well.
So have you ever run into the issue where, like, as far as a woman, like, I don't run into the issue where I'm too handsome, where the people are still talking
to
me about that instead of the job. Have you ever had to, you know, have you ever had to, maybe something as small as dressed down or something like that when you're going for a certain job in order for them to take you serious? Because as a woman, it's difficult, more difficult for you guys than it is for a man. They look at our resume and they look at what we bring to the table. But with a woman, sometimes they look at external and it messes up the process.
Well, I think you need to know your audience. I mean, I don't care who you are. I mean, if you're going in with a little skirt and red lips and your boobs out and you're going in to be a banker, you're in the wrong field, you know? I mean, somebody's going to give you a pull and you're going to walk on out. But it's really knowing your audience. So have I dressed down? I've dressed for it. Without question, Tommy, I know that I am seeing a woman, I will dress probably even cuter because I want to know about her shoes, and it's fine if she wants to know about mine too. You know, I mean,
nice.
It's a different kind of, yeah, it's a different kind of bonding. But in terms of, no, not only would I never advise another woman, I have not walked into the room and sliced off my femininity because somebody else is uncomfortable with who they are. If that is the case, I am in the wrong room, because eventually I will slap on that lip gloss, I will wear those shoes, and it's going to piss them off.
I like that. Ladies and gentlemen, we are here with HLN's Dr. Drew contributor, Miss Laura Barron. And I want to ask you about some of the things that you guys talk about on Dr. Drew. I don't get a chance to really watch you guys unless I TiVo it. And sure. Since I've started seeing you on there now, my TiVo is going to be full of all kind of hours of you, Drew. But I want
to
ask you
about... It's about to be depressing, my friend. It is about to be depressing.
Right. But I want to ask you this about the seriousness of some of the cases that you guys handle, especially with you being a life coach. And I want to get your opinion on what you see. The Jodi Arias case.
Oh, my gosh.
What would be your initial thoughts if she were to come into your room and sit down with you and talk to you? What would have been your initial thoughts based upon what you know right now? And what can you tell someone like that? Because if you're a life coach, especially you're helping women, a lot of the mm-hmm. problems that they have are in relationships. And it seems like her biggest thing was having something but wanting to possess it. What are your thoughts on her?
Well, you know, this is layered, Tommy. This is really layered, because what we know is what we're talking about is a woman who was barbaric, who sliced her lover 28 times while he was naked in the shower. And then only after claiming two different stories, one that burglars came in and it was self-defense, she eventually said that she was abused. And you are talking to me as an advocate of women and as an advocate of women's health. If she was sitting in front of me, I would have some choice words for her, none of which I will bleep out on your show, just because there is nothing that infuriates me more than somebody who is willing to put up an excuse, which it is in the ninth hour, it is an excuse at this point, for their defense to save their life when, one, they have already taken somebody else's, and two, it undermines the struggle of every woman who has been abused out there. So if Jodi Arias was sitting in front of me, I would have choice words that I will not say on the radio. And if, and to any woman who needs a lesson from her, if that's what you're referring to earlier about possessiveness or jealousy, you know, one, I think we're talking about, and this is, you know, being able to work with Drew, I get to be much smarter than I would ever be if it was just me. But it is, but it is, you know, we're really looking at a personality disorder here, most likely, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But it is, it does give you pause when you watch somebody needing so much control over their partner to say, to check yourself and say, what am I looking for in a relationship? Because we've all gone crazy. I mean, we might not have all killed because we're more polite, but we've all done a little crazy. You know, it is.
Yeah, everybody got a little stalker in them.
Right? Just a little. You know, I mean, and as long as you're, as long as your stalker self doesn't lash out 28 times and kill someone silly, you've got a little better than Jodi. You know, but it really is like step away from the corpse.
Why are you setting the bar so low?
I know, right? Hey, you're as good as your lowest common denominator, my friend.
Well, the bell curve has struck again. Now, I want to ask you about how do you
very
think
low.
How do you think that someone can go from, because that's what scares me, because I believe, after I saw what happened with John Wayne Bobbitt and now this, I'm afraid for my life because I'm most vulnerable after that moment. And this is where it seems like these men are getting got. How do those women go from that loving of a situation to that violent?
I know. Tommy, I know. That was the exact, seriously, we get on the air. I'm asking Drew that question. We get off the air. I am following Drew down the hall asking that same question. I mean, this woman was in pigtails. There were pictures of her in pigtails and in all of these sexual positions, and then she can go out and lash out. I mean, one, Tommy, for your own personal ventures, I guess I would tell you to, I don't know, what, wear a cup?
I'm gonna walk into the next, like, the tryst I have with a woman. I'm gonna walk in there looking like Lancelot, literally.
No doubt. You know what's funny, and it's not like funny, but Abe, her ex-boyfriend, and I were having a conversation. It came out a little on air, but we were having a behind-the-scenes conversation in the makeup room, actually. And I was saying to him, "Holy what? You know, this must really affect how you date now." And the dude was like, "Yeah, I used to have a 3-date rule. I would take them back, and that's when he would get his play. And now," he says, "he doesn't even want women knowing where he lives." And this isn't like, listen, there are psycho men like there are psycho women, you know. So let's like lay off my ladies for a second. Let's just say in general, as you're dating, we need to take that stuff slower. We need to be able to sit in a public place and look at this person and have real conversation and assess for ourselves what is our safety level, what is our comfort level, you know? And it can't just be because scotch came.
Yeah. And I think what makes it so difficult, though, for women like this is that we assume, and you look at her and you look at Casey Anthony, and the one thing that seems to be the overwhelming factor is guys find them very attractive and very, very innocent in a way and very flirty.
Right.
And it's weird that they could, because, I mean, when you look at Eileen Wuornos, you think about Eileen Wuornos, you're like, yeah, I believe she could do that. Isn't that a weird society that we live in where we think a beautiful woman can't do this? And they are, like, most of the time when you see the Black Widow, so to speak, it's them.
Yeah, well, you know, and right. I mean, it's like it's the wolf in sheep's clothing, you know, and Jodi especially. You look at her face, and she's got that cherubic, young, sort of wide-eyed look. You know, she's now wearing glasses, which, you know, we all have a fake pair of glasses to look a little smarter, you know. I'm not saying I wear them or I don't, but when I do.
I don't always wear fake glasses, but when I do.
That's right. I'm going to make a point. No, I'm going to make a big point. But it is, you know, it's the same thing as well-dressed men, Tommy. You know, there's a gentleman that walks down the street and he seems gallant. And I heard your commercial for those customized suits, and we all have a picture of what that would look like and the delicious man that's walking down the street. And he too can be the biggest criminal. And hopefully what these cases do is ask us to check the people in our own lives that we give credit just for how they seem as opposed to who they are.
And, I mean, if you think about one of the biggest killers who was a well-dressed man, and the guy in Florida, I can't remember his name.
The guy in Florida.
Bundy, Ted Bundy.
Oh, yeah.
Well-dressed, handsome man.
Right.
I mean, women could not believe that he did what he did, always in a suit. Even in politics, I think he was. And this guy was a mass murderer. And if you think about this, it's really sad the environment that we're in as far as like the mental status of people. And we can't check all these people. And there are really not any checks and balances for when people are going to lose it. Ladies and gentlemen, we are live with Miss Laura Barron, the beautiful Miss Laura Barron, life coach. And I want to ask you about something that you spoke on. You talked about women and how things like this can bother women. And I want to ask you, because you know the woman in Texas, she got away with killing her husband, who was a pastor, who there was nothing documented on record that he'd ever touched this woman. Yet she got off because she used the abuse excuse. How can we get past this? Because it makes men kind of, I mean, Clara Harris did it when she ran over her husband 21 times. It makes men feel like the justice system is against them. And it goes back to the first question, which is how do we manage the part of making women equal and then sort of making them unequal when they can get in court? Because you never hear, a man would never be allowed to go into court after killing his wife and say, she abused me. And women have been getting off lately with even saying he mentally abused me. He didn't touch me. He just mentally abused me. And people are still feeling sympathy for him. But you would laugh a man out of court with that. How can women in the feminist movement justify that part of the court system that's making men start to basically get upset about how it's running them away?
Get rid of the lawyers.
I'm all for it.
Well, I will sign your petition, my friend. I mean, that's really what's going on here. I mean, you talk to any defense attorney and they will say without apology, listen, we're going for broke. We are going for broke here. The key to my strategy is to not have my client die, and we will use any means necessary. I need to emphasize, Tommy, I know you know I'm going to go here, that abuse is real, both to men and to women, and that there is a fallout. There is a fallout when it gets to a point when you push somebody and you abuse them and you're manipulating them and you're controlling them, that they will fire off. They are going to break. Either you are going to
break them. Because I have sympathy for Miss Clara Harris. Once I found out what this guy was sleeping with the secretary and she was getting all kinds of, I had actual sympathy for her, especially when he says, hey, I'm going to break it off. And he goes back and have sex with the woman again.
Right. Well, it's hard. I mean, Tommy, it's hard. It's hard because you want to believe and you want to support what these people are saying that they've been through. And yet there is a litmus test that we've all got and we can smell BS on some of these cases. And that's what's unfair. That's what's unfair, that the legal system is making a mockery out of the truth of people's lives. There are real victims out there, and those victims are looking at these, you know, quick court case stars, recognizing that it's a bunch of bunk.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I mean, I don't know if lawyers were no longer involved, and I don't know. I believe an eye for an eye, Tommy. I believe an eye for an eye.
You.
I really do.
And it scares me because I look at it and I think of like the boy who cried wolf. you're making it mm-hmm. difficult when you have women who are able to just say so-and-so raped me and you ruin this guy's life. And then you find out he didn't do it, but there's no recourse. Again, like the Brian Banks story. This guy spent 6 years in jail and he has no recourse. And the woman was like, I was lying.
And I will tell you that I have coached women through and sat with women who have been raped,
mm-hmm.
who then get raped through the system, then get raped on trial, then get accused of being a this and a that. You know, there's all of this slut shaming that goes on. Well, she was wearing this. Well, she was drinking
that.
Oh, my gosh. So it's, you know, it goes on both sides. I mean, when lawyers pull these tricks to get their clients off, it does. It scares men. It scares women. But it is insulting to all of us. And the only mm-hmm. good news in this is that we can smell it, that we are all aware and that we are all willing to talk about it. You know, I mean, listen, it's a Friday night and we're talking about this. That's a good thing. That is a good thing.
But, like, if you think about this, if you think about the Casey Anthony case, and ladies and gentlemen, we're live with Miss Laura Barron. She's life coach. And we're also going to talk about your A&E. You're all over the television. We're going to talk about all that stuff. But if you think about it, when you look at what happened with Casey Anthony, they just were literally able to shift from she had no idea the little girl was dead to just throwing out, okay, the girl's dead, but my father used to rape me and he did it, or it is an accident. It's like, what did your father raping you have anything to do with it being an accident? But it's like they just throw all of this. The man never gets a chance to play a victim in court, and I think it's going to turn men as a whole against the women who are allowing the other women to do this. Do you ever feel like there are times when you should speak up to make sure that men know, hey, we know it's BS too?
Well, I think when you're looking at these high-profile cases, I think we all have to keep something very real in mind, that we are not getting the whole story unless we are sitting in the courtroom, and even then we might not be getting the real story. You know, in some of these cases, there's 30,000 pages of evidence that you would have to read through and highlight and talk to lawyers about and get definitions from, you know. I mean, so before we get into panic mode that this is against men or that, you know, what have you, I think we have to recognize that some of these court cases play out as a bit of entertainment.
Yes.
They really do. And we believe we have somehow gotten to the point that we all believe that we have gone to law school and we know what is going on. And at the end of the day, I'd say that's the first thing that we all need to check on ourselves. The judgments that we make on these court cases are the same way that we make judgments on the people on the street. Do you know the whole story? And if you don't, do you have the right to judge?
I like that. Well, Ms. Laura, we have one last question on this subject, and it's a fan question. It's from Mr. Alexander Leroy, and he is asking, what do you think is the cause of, because there has been a report out there that men are now shying away from marriage. Like, men don't want to get married, even though women still do. What do you think is the cause that men don't want to get married here in 2013?
It's funny because, you know, the majority of my practice are women now. And I would say it's very mutual. I think that the state of marriage has definitely been made a bit more casual. You know, I mean, you see babies out of wedlock more often, and it's something that is really acceptable. You know, I mean, it's not a very traditional model of, oh, you first have to get married, then you have your children, then you know. I don't think that there is the same model of what comes next in our modern day. And I think that, and I think everybody has a little bit of relationship reluctance. You know, women are more empowered these days. They don't need, and when I say need in a needy way, a man. And I think that men also have, you know, their different options and opportunities. And I think at the end of the day, everybody needs to buck up and take some responsibility and ask themselves what they want in their lives. just because your buddies aren't married and they're shying away, just because your other lady friends want to go out for drinks, that's all fine. Take your life, do what you want. But at the end of the day, you need to have your own goals. You need to have your own mission. And just because everybody else or it, the trend is that not everybody is getting married, you can still buck that trend. You can still, and there are plenty, Tommy. I see plenty of delicious, delicious relationships and marriages out there. It is alive and well. It's the question of how willing are you to put yourself out there, to get yourself vulnerable, and to get yourself hurt because you will be hurt, and to lift yourself up and do it again.
I love that. Ladies and gentlemen, we are live here with Miss Laura Barron, and she of A&E's Monster in Laws and VH1, You're Cut Off. And you talked about taking that first step. What is it that you tell women in order to get them to take? Because as you know, we all fear being hurt. What is it that you can tell women especially about after they've been hurt and taking the chance? Maybe you can take it from your personal life. What is it that keeps you hopeful that you could get to that stage? I mean, I don't know if that's something you would want, like marriage, but is that something that you look at and think, hey, it's still an end game, even though other people aren't trying to do it?
Well, yes. I mean, I don't believe that people don't want this anymore. I think we all want that attachment. We all want that safety. We all want that relationship that allows us to fly, you know? And to the women who are in heartbreak, or even to the men who are in heartbreak, I say celebrate those tears. Like, I say to my clients and say what you want about it, like, I want to see you bleed. I want to see you in pain. Because if you are, it means you are taking a chance. If you fail, it means you took a risk. And it means you are that much closer. And
yep.
I think everybody needs permission to stop and lick their wounds. You know, I think that this is a fast-acting society. We've got social media. You've got Facebook. And everybody's, you know, posting this BS about how they had this fantastic date and this fantastic day. And everybody's lives look like so brilliant on Facebook and reality shows and all of this stuff, right? Anybody
yes.
is going to get depressed looking at social media. Because you're like,
I just talked about that earlier. In the Coke Zero, Is It Just Me? I talked about that. I talked about how if you read what people say about their lives, your life sucks.
And as a matter of fact, exactly. Like, nobody gets on Facebook and is like, listen, here's the deal. This is the 6 pounds of Twinkies that I, you know, have been eating that landed on my butt, you know? They only, right? They only post the picture with the perfect lighting, et cetera. So we are all in this mirage of what everybody else's life looks like. And we feel like if we are hurt, we don't often take the time, is what I notice, to give ourselves permission to take a break. And this isn't, and just be, just hang out, you know, just say like, not in the best place, I'm not in the worst place, but you know what, I don't want to go out. I don't want to have to like leap back into it. And it's okay. And that's okay.
I love that. I mean, you seem to be so great at your job, because I could listen to you talk all day, because you seem to add the element that a lot of people don't do. And I guess it's the non-blowing of smoke up my anus, that one. You know, it seems like you avoid that. And
well, dude,
is that something that, is that your goal when you're talking to women?
Yeah, but do you know who taught me that? I mean, you're gonna flare your feathery wings right now, but it is men. I know you can peacock out. Yeah, you can go peacock out. I get this. But yeah, I mean, when I started my business with all C-suite men, so CEOs, CFOs, CMOs, you know, the whole nine, and politicians, if you believe that. I mean, talk about sheep in a, what is that, sheep and wolves, or wolves in sheep's clothing. And when I started my business, I had these very, very powerful men who could buy and sell us all. And nobody, especially these men, are not going to sit with me for 45 minutes and, like, talk about their feelings, lick lollipops with me, and then compliment me on my shoes. You know, they want to know the bottom line. They want to drive the bottom line. And that's where my client base turned into a very type A, empowered and powerful base, because I won't blow smoke up their butt. And because I don't believe in it. And Tommy, that's not how I grew up. I did not grow, you know, I mean, I was not lived silly. You know, I had high expectations. I had boundaries set. And there was respect in the house, you know, and I didn't come from the juiciest, you know, I mean, my mom, I would sit on my mom's lap and like kiss her silly because I loved it first. But that's not what she would do with me. She showed me love by showing me respect. She showed me love by having expectations, having limits. And then when I did a good job, she said good job and then moved me to the next stage. And we all want somebody who's going to be ooey gooey and who's going to, like, you know, throw chocolate sauce all over us all of the time. But at the end of the day, we are just looking to get BS. We would all be better off, you know, girls to girls, men to, you know, in our friendships, in our relationships, all of that stuff. If we could all just tell the damn truth, that's what we want anyway.
Yep. It's like I always, when people say the truth hurts, and I tell them, I said, in my practice, when I deal with people all the time and I'm counseling them, I don't hear them come in telling me about the truth hurting. They come in talking about how somebody told them a lie, how somebody lied to them, how that hurt.
Oh,
so it seems like we should embrace the truth. They need to stop that phrase saying the truth hurts. No, it's the lies that hurt.
Oh, Tommy, that is such a good point. That is such a good point. I love that. I love that, love that, love that. Yes.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I try. Now, I almost want to end it on a good note now.
You're like, scene.
You know, I won. Now to a commercial break. No, but I wanted to ask you. But I wanted to ask you this about VH1's Cutoff. Tell us about VH1's Cutoff.
Well, it was a show that I did for 2 seasons. I took 8 very privileged young girls. We called it really Princess Rehab, and I taught them how to volunteer and to do work around the house. We sold it internationally. We're in reruns now. It's a really loving show. It was wild and fun, and we got a lot of success out of it and changed a lot of lives. You know, I still keep in touch with a lot of those girls. And I have to say, being a host of, you know, 2 different reality shows now that have had their way in this space and have done, you know, well, I mean, gratefully, it is really amazing to be on my side of the coin. I mean, I know that we all have an appetite for reality shows, but I would like to say that when you watch your next reality show, if you wouldn't mind just thinking of how brave those people are to crack themselves open and share their lives. And some of it, you know, some of it might be garbage, some of it you can throw away, but I got to tell you, the families that I worked with on Annie's Monster and Laws, the girls that I worked with on VH1's Your Cutoff, I have the highest respect that they were able to take themselves out of their comfort zone, be challenged with things that they would never have imagined they could ever accomplish, and show it in front of the world. So I loved it. I've loved it.
Now, which venue do you like the most? Do you like speaking to people? Do you like doing things like a Dr. Drew? Do you like having your own reality show, as you've done twice? Do you like the Today Show format? What is your favorite format when you're out there working?
I'm grateful for them all. I think that when I'm in front of a crowd, to be able to witness, and you seem similar to this, Tommy, where you can witness the transfer of energy. You get to witness, you know, people overcoming. You get to vibe off of their beautiful energy and learn. And that's really, you know, to the people that write into me, to the people that call into the shows, to the people willing to go to the, you know, large group seminars and to the public speaking engagements and raise their hands and stomp with me and strut with me and get dirty with me, all of those things, those are the moments I learn the most. And everything else is a larger, as you do with your radio show, is a larger scale to spread a message. But as a human being, I get fed the most when I get to stand in front of somebody and witness their power.
I love what you said, because I talk to people all the time, like they'll ask, like there's a video rooms and audio rooms, and I'll see them chatting and talking, and I'll go in there and I'll say stuff to them in the middle of the show, and they're like, oh my God, he spoke to me. And I'm like, no, I'm getting my energy from you. I'm getting, I'll sit here and I'm doing the program. And it's like you said, especially when I go live and I'm doing seminars, that's when it's fun, because I actually get to engage with the people and see how they're responding to every word that I say and how I'm saying it. And it's a different experience every time I do it.
Yeah. I bet you'd be amazing. I bet you'd be really, really good.
Mm-hmm. Well, I love doing it. And I want to ask you, Miss Laura Barron, I want to ask you about, here's your chance to shout out Dr. Drew. What is it that you learn most from working with Drew?
I have, beyond medical terminology that I still can't pronounce, Drew is somebody that I've been very fortunate to meet, to work with exceptional producers, and my network execs have been really amazing. Like, I've really had great teams around me, and Drew really typifies the reason that I have faith in the broadcast medium to evoke real change. He is as real, and he is as caring, and frankly, he's like even a little like more raucous than you would see. He's a little bit dirtier than you'd like, in the best of ways. Like, the dude cares. He just cares, and he knows that he's a source of information and wants to be able to get that source of information out. And he reminds me that the media is a place for transformation, is a place for positive change, and it's all based on your intention, and he's got great intentions.
I tell you what, one of the things that he's mastered, in my opinion, is the ability to convey empathy. When you watch him or you listen to him, you feel like he's literally trying to put himself in anyone's shoes that he's discussing, and that he's trying to find out where they're coming from, and he's trying to feel, even when he's talking about people who you would more than likely think are the villain, he still tries to give you where they might be coming from. Is that something you see, and can you do it? Because I have a hard time doing what he does. I have a hard time putting myself in the bad guy's shoes.
I see what you're talking about with Drew, and I agree with you, and that's very real. You know, he does that on camera, off camera. That's who he is. I do that as well. I mean, I'm not in comparison to Drew, of course, but I do that because I do that in my natural practice. So when I'm coaching people, my goal is to eliminate judgment and just to get in there and to get into their truth, whatever their truth may be. And we've all got some uglies in us, you know?
Yeah.
And it is so helpful to get to a place where you're like, okay, I understand that. Okay, I can see where her mind is going here. And that's, for me, how I can steer that car. You know, how I can put her on a better path. Because otherwise, it just looks like nutty behavior. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If you really can, and I think everybody has the ability, frankly, to seep into somebody else. It's just that you have to withhold judgment, and that's hard. That's hard.
I like that. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we are here with Laura Barron, the life coach of women's empowerment, and help empower women to understand right now. And men, what do you think is the biggest chasm? Because it's a pretty big chasm between men and women in 2012. What do you think can close that gap between our communication?
You know, I think it's pretty simple, Tommy. Just follow after me. Say yes.
Yes.
Ma'am.
So as a man, it is our job to acquiesce.
Did you think I would change it any other way, Tommy?
All right. Laura, here it is. Everybody knows you and I are probably going to get married sometime in the Alps in 2015 or 16. So what is it that Tommy would get after doing all this acquiescing and saying, yes, ma'am? What does the man get out of that?
Listen, a man who has the ability to maintain his strength and yet allow a woman to just be, get every benefit and every privilege that he could probably imagine. When a real man, I'm saying real, you know, when a real man can find it in his gentlemanly self to allow her to be a girl, allow her to act out a little if she needs to be, you know what I mean? And same with the women. When a woman understands that a man isn't going to be strong 100% of the time and that his emotions is something that she can celebrate, and when he asks or needs for something, that it is a moment of strength as opposed to a moment of weakness, it's the beauty of a relationship. And I see it, and I see it all the time. I mean, it is so, so possible. It's just allowing somebody to flip and be, you know?
Mm-hmm. Like, here's what I tell people all the time when I'm counseling women and they're telling me they're having problems in their relationship. It always seems like it's a battle for the same position. It's like everybody wants to hold the same position.
Yeah, and, you know, when I would tell my women, like, why? Why? Like, you just have it. I do not want to be a man. Like, I do not want to be a man, you know? I mean, and I think that most women don't either, but it is the idea that if you let go of control, that you are some, again, we're going back to that same point, that you're going to somehow get hurt. And to that, I would say, then let yourself bleed. You know, get yourself hurt. Learn the lesson, and let's all move on. You know, we all have scraped up knees. It's okay.
Mm-hmm. Now, and I know we got to let you go in a little while, but I want to ask you something. I talked about something on the show on Tuesday, and we're talking about lies and deception here, and you can elaborate whether talking about something that's happening in your personal life or not. But I talked about, a woman asked me, why do men cheat? And the biggest reason I explained, I said, it's usually insecurity. Most of the time we cheat because there's a power in that ability to get another woman. What do you think about that, and how do you think lies and, you know, deception play? Because I believe that plays the biggest part in what most relationships break up for. It's this idea of, like you said, social media allows you to lie, so the person meets the person, there's a huge lie. He told you he was 6'2" on Match.com, and now he's 5'8". You know, it's these lies and deception. So everybody walks into it saying, I'm being lied to. The question is, what am I being lied to? And I talk about men, and I say the reason we do it is based upon this silly insecurity. What do you think?
Sure. I would agree with you. I think it is insecurity, and I think that's also coupled with accessibility. And accessibility can, you know, it can come from power, it can come from money, and it can just come from the fact that you know some people that are going to be easy around you, you know, where you're going to be able to get yours. And I think that it is much, listen, if you put your favorite meal in front of you and asked not to eat it, it's going to be tough. You smell it, you look at it, you know it's juicy, it's crispy, you know, it's anything that you want that thing to be.
I'm about it's to have very, to take a 5-minute bathroom break. Quit talking like
right?
that.
but it is very difficult to walk away from the table. So the question becomes, if you are not supposed to eat that meal, what are you doing at the table? Right?
Right.
It is, and that's where accessibility all comes in. It is the idea that you can do it, that nobody can find out about it. There is a charm in being, shall we say, above the law. You know, I mean, we see this with our politicians' affairs all of the time.
Yep.
I actually see it in my own clients' affairs and deal without judgment, really, in a lot of affairs. I've seen a lot of them. And it is. It's access. It's access. And then there is like a little tweak that they know that they haven't been caught. They know that they can get away with it. And if they can get away with that, they can get away with that much more. But it doesn't mean that everybody is going to cheat. And it also doesn't mean that you can't ask the questions. I mean, I think the other idea is people don't want to seem like, girls don't want to seem like they're being a nag where they want to ask you where you've been tonight. That is a perfectly fine question. You know, looking through your dude's cell phone and checking text messages, going into his private email accounts and Facebook accounts and those sorts of things, you know, that's tweaked. But you get to have expectations in your relationship. You get to ask the questions. You get to have the relationship that you want for you. And the only way you're going to do it and the only way you're going to get it is choreographing it.
I like that because I've always said to people, I'll say access leads to excess. I know before I could afford steak, I didn't eat steak. Now, when I got to afford steak, next thing you know, I was eating steak very often. I was like, I won't. And then I was having a certain type of steak. And if you didn't have that type of steak, I'm not eating that. And I looked at it and I realized what happened? Why was I more comfortable and content when I didn't have a certain something? And then I got a certain something. And all of a sudden I look back at what I had and it's no longer okay. And I think that's what happens in relationships with guys, especially if they come to a certain level of prominence, as you saw with Mark Sanford in South Carolina. I mean, he had access to women he never had access to before he became the governor.
Right. Well, I mean, first of all, can we just say you date or marry a politician? Godspeed. Come on now.
It is what
you know,
it is.
I mean, seriously.
You sign up for that.
Right, exactly. This is a business relationship. Eventually, you are going to see his thing on Twitter or you are going to meet his woman in a strip club. And if you don't, then you found the one that isn't going to do it. You know, come on now.
Right. And then
take
if you don't find his
right,
woman, you're probably going to find his man.
And what's that?
I said, and if you don't find his woman, you eventually find his man.
Yeah, exactly. Which, hey, I'm actually, that at least gives it some, like, flavor. I mean, let's not be so typical, you know? I'm getting bored with these stories, you know? It's like, oh, another one. Surprise.
I want to ask you last question. You know, we talk about cheating. Dan Marino is out there. You as a woman, how would you deal with, could you, because say if I just so happen to cheat, and I won't mean to it, but if I cheat on you, how would you get past it? Do you believe that you can get past a guy cheating?
I mean, I think there's nothing that a sharp pair of scissors can't do. listen, you obviously, you know, coming from a responsible perspective, I will say, of course, you have to assess the relationship, blah, blah, blah. But at the end of the day, if that's how you want to play this, we all have a little dirty in us, you know? I mean, I said an eye for an eye. I mean, not to say that if you get cheated on, you should go cheat. But it all has to be in your comfort zone. I have seen too many people that have stayed in those relationships. And frankly, you know what happens that I think is incredibly interesting is the person who cheated begs for the other person to take them back. The other person takes them back because they now have control. And for the rest of that relationship's existence, the person who was cheated on now uses that one thing against their other person as a control device. And that becomes even sicker. Because now you're talking about something 7 years ago, and it's not even interesting anymore because the hairstyles are out. It was much sexier when you could at least picture it and not be nauseous.
That is so true. I've had that happen. I've done that where someone's done something and I took them back and I just wanted to keep using it. It's like this get out of jail free card. No matter what I did,
I would just
throw this thing up and say, well, you can't say anything because remember you did this in 1975.
Right. Exactly. And I'm sure, Tommy, in those instances, you were not behaving as your best man. You know, I mean, it gives people all sorts of crazy permission. Like, all right, you want to stay? Okay, but bend over.
Yeah, you're right. It was like, I got the Vaseline right here. I'm ready to go. I got it.
Because
you're going to get it for the rest of this relationship. You're going to get not the best of me. So are you one of those people who you believe in minimal incidences that it can actually work after infidelity?
I believe that you can make anything work. If you can let it go. And that is the only question. And I often question, there are sometimes that people will look at their faith, and based on their faith, they say, you know, I can let it go. Based on their family circumstance, on their children, I can let it go. Those I have not found in my personal practice, those can be to be ultimately, in the long term, things that people can really hold on to. It is the cushion that they use. It is the comfort blanket that they use. But at the end of the day, they still personally, as just a little human like we all are, cannot let it go. And if you can't let it go, what are you doing being jailed in that, you know? Life is short.
Yeah, that is very deep. There's so much more I would love to ask you, but I know we have held you long enough. Can you where they can find you, not only on the Ask Laura Barron Twitter, but where things you have coming up?
I have actually all of my details. My new website is coming out in, I think, like a week and a half, and all of my events and appearances, et cetera, will be posted on there. My Facebook is Ask Laura Barron. My Twitter is the same. My website is actually the same. I make it easy that way. That way I don't have to remember anybody else's name. And I'm grateful for your time, Tommy. It was wonderful to talk to you.
Thank you so much for coming on the show. Hope we can do this again.
Of course.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the beautiful Laura Barron. If you haven't been to her Twitter, please go follow it. If you haven't been to her Facebook, please, please, please. On her Facebook, as she said, it's Ask Laura, AskLauraBarron. I'm telling you now, that's the finest woman on TV. I was going to throw my TV away before she came. And I was like, you know what? This is my future wife, so I should be watching. But we talked about a lot of deep stuff. Guys, know when we come back from the break, I'm going to take you guys' phone calls because everything she brought up to me was like the gospel. It's the God's honest truth. It's the painful truth. It's the things you don't want to hear. And maybe you knew within your heart, but you didn't know how to say it. And she said it. Even how she talked about how we all got a little crazy in us. How many of you have admitted that? You admitted behind closed doors, but you won't admit it in open court, so to speak. But she said, look, it's a part of who you are. And this is one thing that I tell people when I'm counseling them all the time. One of the biggest things I tell people is lying to yourself is what causes you the most problems. It's not someone lying to you. It's not you being lied on. It's lying to yourself. And most of you spend all of your time lying to yourself. And after you get through lying to yourself, what you do is try to force the rest of the world to adhere to your lie. Come on now. Don't let me say it again. What most of you spend your whole life is trying to get the rest of the world to adhere to a lie that you told yourself. Don't believe me? watch all the people messing with me. I made videos about them and sent it to them. Did I put their name in those videos I made? No. So those people wake up every day, come follow me, and then tell me that somehow what I've said bothers them. Somehow what I feel in my own personal space bothers them. Because I have put their lie into the public without knowing one thing about them. Without knowing one thing about them, their lie has been put out in public. And they will fight tooth and nail. They will fight to the death to preserve their way of life, their lie. I'm telling y'all right now, if it ever came out that the Bible was written by some drunk dude who just got through having an orgy, do you know that that person who was exposing that lie would be immediately killed? Do you know if he wasn't killed and he got out and had proof that it was a lie, that people would still follow the Bible? Why? It's not the lie that they were told. It's the lie they told themselves. People, most Christians don't believe what they're reading. Please understand, they don't. Their logical mind tells them this doesn't make any sense. But their heart makes them want to believe it. Ladies, you've been with a guy. You know that guy wasn't no damn good. Am I lying? Your heart made you look past what you knew was right. So at the end of the day, you'll get mad at him and say, you lied to me. I can't believe you did this. Yes, you can. You knew it. You had that twinge on the second date. You knew this. There are women and men who are cheating with somebody. They leave that person they cheating with. You got them, and now you expect them to not cheat on you. There is no logic in that. And I got people in my practice right now who will sit and tell me, I can't believe he did this. And I'm like, what are you talking about? That's how you got him. He left his wife to be your boyfriend, and you thought that was an upgrade? That's like saying I left the Bulls with Michael Jordan to play with the damn Hawks with Mookie Blaylock. Come on now. You know what this is. I see y'all caught that Mookie. Ladies and gentlemen, we're about to go to a break, and we're going to come back with your phone calls. That's right, your phone calls, because tonight's subject is a subject we can talk about all night. So I'm going to let you guys talk about it early. The number is 347-989-8310. What is the subject, you ask? How lies and deception can cause pain and heartache and just break up a relationship. The number is 347-989-8310. Guys, hey. Quit playing. You know who I am. You know exactly what this is. This is Your World.
Stay tuned for more Your World, My Views, the realest show on internet radio with your host, Tommy Sotomayor. Keep it.
It's the way you bring out the sun. It's the way you make it all fun.
Know who makes the day sunny? My mom and Sunny D. I love the taste. Mom loves the vitamin C. And now it has 40% fewer calories than most regular soda brands. Sunny D.
Drink up and download free music. Find out more at sunnyd.com.
It's new! It's nice and easy color blend foam. Permanent color with tones and highlights now in a delightful foam. Just reshape, foam it, love it. It's fantastic. New nice and easy color blend foam. Your right color.
Nobody saw it coming. Not even me. but I think they call this family time. I won't tell them that. Get the Wii console plus Mario Kart Wii, a Wii wheel accessory, and more. Now for just $149.99. Rated E for everyone.
I'm Phil Mickelson, pro golfer. If you have painful, swollen joints, I've been in your shoes. One day I'm on top of the world. The next I'm saying,
I have this thing called psoriatic arthritis. I had some intense pain. It progressively got worse.
My rheumatologist told me about Enbrel. I'm surprised how quickly my symptoms have been managed.
Because Enbrel suppresses your immune system, it may lower your ability to fight infections. Serious, sometimes fatal events, including infections, tuberculosis, lymphoma, other cancers, and nervous system and blood disorders have occurred. Before starting Enbrel, your doctor should test you for tuberculosis and discuss whether you've been to a region where certain fungal infections are common. Don't start Enbrel if you have an infection like the flu. Tell your doctor if you're prone to infections, have cuts or sores, have had hepatitis B, have been treated for heart failure, or if while on Enbrel, you experience persistent fever, bruising, bleeding, or paleness.
Get back to the things that matter most.
Good job, girls.
Ask your rheumatologist if Enbrel is right for you.
Don't worry, Lucky. These Wheat Thins Crunch Sticks will save us. Look!
Wheat Thins Crunch Sticks. Try our new flavors.
You know, there's so many great things about being a Zapata representative. The culture of this company, along with our incredible sterling silver, sets us apart from anybody else. If I knew what Zapata could do for me when I had young children, I would be telling you, you need to sell Zapata now.
The financial opportunity has been beyond my wildest expectations.
Starting my Zapata business was so easy.
The best part about Zapata are the parties, because you don't have to sell it, you just have to wear it.
Go into a party with your jewelry, your catalogs, and your smile.
This is a business that's so flexible. You're the boss. You're in control. You're in the driver's seat.
It's the easiest thing I've ever done that rewards me for being me.
I'm a Zapata woman.
I'm a Zapata woman.
I am a Zapata woman, and I live life in style.
And now, back to the man who loves all of his fans, except the ones playing hard to get. Your host, Tommy Sotomayor.
Yeah, we are having some weird-ass issue with every time I try to come back from a break, it's doing some stupid crap. And I don't know why it's doing this stupid-ass crap. Well, what is this about? I get ready to come back, and there's a stupid crap. It does the stupid crap, and it is crappity crap crap. And I don't know about this crappity crap crap crap, but now all y'all can see is a Playboy magazine, the top of an 1800 bottle, two 1800 bottles, a little Christmas tree, which is out of its fucking season by now, which lets you know that black folks don't never know when to take down shit like ornaments. You ever notice a nigga keeps shit up way past time? I'm dead ass serious. We keep shit up way past time. Now, here's what we're going to do. I don't know what's happening here. I say, hold on, boy. I say, I don't know what's going on here, boy. But they say that the thing ain't working. That's what they say. And I don't know why it ain't coming back on. There's something wrong. There's something going on. The love we used to share is gone. I'm falling out of love with you, and I don't know what to do. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll get this thing going in a second, in a while, in a minute. But the number is 347-989-8310. I want you guys to call in because we're going to have a great show, and we're going to ask you guys some questions. We're asking about deception and lies. Now, I don't know. Can somebody tell me what the fuck is going on? Am I missing something? Why is it not doing? Can they see me? They can't. But can they hear me? They can't hear me? Oh, I'm going to say son of a bitch. Somebody said no. I'm talking square bitch to you, bitch. Square bitch. Ain't that what the song say, square bitch? Square bitch, I'm talking square. She ain't got no hips and got some small lips. She's looking just like a big box. But I don't care when I get her naked. I'm going to get her in her crotch. That's a square bitch. That's a square ass bitch. Square bitch. And the sad part is none of this is getting recorded. That is hilarious. Damn it, that is hilarious. They ain't recording none of this crap. Who's recording this shit? Put it up. That damn what's her name can find all my shit. I don't know how she do it. What's that crazy whore's name? Jeannie Burlesque. That crazy whore found shit I did like 3 years ago. I don't know how she did it. Stuff I had done. There it is, son of a bitch. Stuff I had done 3 years ago, this bitch done put it up. Here it is. What the fuck? He's drinking while he's interviewing people, so he's a drunk. He's a drunk, and he be having sex in front of his daughter. I'm telling y'all, that chick's got the most perverted mind ever. You know the movie A Beautiful Mind? Well, this bitch, she gonna be starring in her own movie, A Disgusting Mind. Starring this ugly-ass bitch, A Disgusting Mind. Now, from the studios of Liongate, from the producer that brought you Madea and Daddy's Little Girl, Tyler Perry brings you A Disgusting Mind. Why am I not doing voiceovers? That has always been something that everybody keeps telling me. You should do voiceovers. I should do voiceovers. But you sit up there. I don't even know why I was thinking about a square ass bitch. I think it was because I was looking at that white girl shape on that sent me that picture. That's a square ass bitch. Square bitch. That motherfucker shaped like a rectangle, a damn rhombus. Square bitch. That there's a square ass white bitch. Square bitch. You ain't got no shape. No shape. Square white bitch. You buy that bitch for Christmas, just buy her a box. Put your shit in a box. Ooh, your shit in a box, girl. I'm wise enough to know when the gift needs giving, and I got just the one. Damn, you got a bad shape. That's the good thing about white girls. You can wake up and look them in the face, and they get ready to take the sheet off. No. Why you don't want me to take the sheet off? No. I just look you in the face. Talking about you want me to fuck you from behind. I feel like I'm trying to fuck this wall. I remember when I was in court one time. I was in court, and there was a white girl in there. And she said that a man had groped her, and they were trying to put him in jail. They said, you know, this man had groped this woman, and they asked her to give details, and she was crying. She was on the stand. She said, they said, ma'am, can you just tell us what happened? And she said, I was walking down the street, and he grabbed my ass. And the judge was a black man. And when she got off the stand, he looked, and he took the gavel, and he said, I called the court to order. He called both lawyers up there, and then you heard him say, I'm dismissing the case on the grounds of lack of evidence. Grabbing your ass is like trying to grab this wall. It is impossible. I'm trying. Look at this shit. And I've seen people, there's a difference between a flat ass. I've seen some white girls with asses. Their ass wasn't even flat. That shit was concave. Taking me back to my high school days. How is your ass going in? And they walking like this. And you were like, what the hell? How does this happen to your ass? And I've seen white boys, I've been sitting there with white boys, I remember being on campus, and a white girl would walk by the yard, and the white dude would be like, look at Jesse's ass. You talking about Jesse Breckenridge? Yeah, man, you know Jesse Breckenridge? Yeah, I know Jesse Breckenridge. We in the economics class together. She's got a sexy body. And that was the first time I used this phrase. I said, she got a shitty shape. Don't you ever say that about Jesse Breckenridge in my face anymore. Jesse's got a horrible body. Jesse was a girl. She had an ass that was flat as the wall. Man, when I seen her walk around, I'm about to throw up. Them white boys loved it and they want to wipe her up. And they watch it all with their eyes. And they were. I got to be the dumbest nigga online. I got to be the dumbest dude ever. Where else can you get this kind of damn off-the-cuff entertainment? Where else can you get it? That's what you get. That's what you get. Changing your mind. Ladies and gentlemen, we are talking about a serious subject, though. And I'm going to bring in Lisa. I ain't talked to Lisa in a long time. Lisa, what's going on? What are you doing, Lisa? Lisa is typing in Morse code. That is a killer. Y'all heard Lisa typing in Morse code? I'm scared this motherfucker gonna come through the damn thing like the ring. You know what? That's the hard part about having a girl suck your dick. She got long hand shit. I have to move it out the way. My girl be like, why do you keep moving my hair out the way? I'm like, because you look like that bitch coming out that well on the motherfucking the ring and shit. I don't want to see you like this. You're sucking my dick. Talking about you like that. No, I'm scared. Tie that shit back. You're scaring the shit out of me. You like this? No. Oh. I didn't watch the tape. Damn it, man. You got to tie that shit back. Stop that. You scared me. She was doing it. And I kept looking away. Why are you looking away? Because I'm trying to cut shit. And then the dark and shit. Telling y'all, I've told it to y'all before. It's a difference between having sex with a white woman and a dark skinned woman when it's dark. You can make love to a white woman by the pale moonlight, like she motherfucking the Joker and shit, this Batman. You can make love to a white woman. Have you ever made love to a white bitch by the pale moonlight? You can. They show up. And my girl, one time we was like, let's record the sex. Y'all know that first time when y'all say let's record the sex, it's always tricky because you don't know how it's going to work. And as a man, it's really tricky on us because if we going to record this shit, I can't come like I usually come. First off, I can't make all them stupid faces. I can't do that because the camera's on a nigga. So I can't do all that. So I gotta come cool. Oh. With a serious face. Can't have no aftershocks. Y'all, any man that done had a real orgasm, a good one, them aftershocks be a son of a bitch. You be spasming. It'd be like I've had some pussy so good, I went and left, got in the car, was driving down the road and said, damn, just aftershock pussy. That was an 8.5 on the Richter scale. That pussy is ridiculous. I will kill you if you give anybody else this pussy. I will murder your parents. I will kill them all. Come into this motherfucker like Spice One. Kill them all. Boy, what? If you're from the West Coast, you have no idea what I just said. But we was like, let's go on and have some sex and record it. So it was my big debut. Here we go, Mr. DeVille. Well, we both are the same color as this microphone, but the same color as my shirt. And we started filming. We had a little low light on, had a lamp on, and a TV. We started filming. I went and looked at the videotape. You couldn't see shit. It just looked like the cover was moving. Looked like Paranormal Activity. It looked like Paranormal Activity, that son of a bitch. So we tried it again. We had to bring in fucking floodlights. Had to bring in lamps and shit from other rooms. Turn on the damn bathroom. Open the bathroom door and turn all the lights on in there. Open the curtains up and let the street light come in. This is damn ridiculous. This ain't sexy. That shit is burning my eyes. We finally got that shit on tape. That's why it's hard to do movies with a black person and white person in a love scene. Look like this bitch is having sex with an apparition. Let me go to the phone lines and get some people in here. Let me quit talking silly. Oh, I haven't talked to my man in a minute. What up, Maurice?
Hey, what's going on there?
Nothing much. How you feel?
I'm feeling real good. What about you?
I'm doing well. Did that video help you?
Yeah, it helped out a lot.
Good deal. Let me ask you something. We're talking about, did you get to hear the interview?
Yeah, I was there throughout the entire show.
All right, now, what did you think about Laura? I'm telling you that the woman is a smart woman.
Yeah, she is, except I didn't agree with everything she was saying because...
Tell me what you didn't agree with. Let's start there.
I understand what she's saying about being empowered as a woman and everything, but if you notice when she was talking, she kept saying, like, if you were to cheat on her, she would get something sharp right there. That, to me, that's saying that she already planned on doing something physical to you.
But let me tell you this.
The way how I was raised,
it's better to know
if
that they're...
come at you like that, then they got the right to beat their ass. They no longer a woman.
Have you ever known? I want to ask you that. Well, let me ask you this. Why is it that if a man says that, it's never funny? Like if she was a man and I was a woman and the question had been asked, and she had asked me, what would you do if your wife cheat on you? And I was like, I'll fuck that bitch up. Nobody would have ever laughed.
Exactly, because as men, we're not allowed to do that. Women have more control, and that's not right.
Women are like retarded children, I keep telling you.
I say that all the time. I told people, women straight to their face. Y'all are unstable creatures. Y'all don't understand logic, and y'all don't understand much of nothing at all. You're emotional creatures. Emotions don't mix with logic. When you try to do that, it's like oil and water. It's not going to work.
I need to quit watching TV because I'm looking at Ray Allen's wife. That bitch is beautiful.
Yeah, slow down with that.
I'm gonna have a whole bunch. All my guests are gonna be people I looked at TV and said, "Wow, they beautiful."
Hey, make sure you get that Romanian chick back. I saw her the other night. Wasn't
she fine though? Wasn't she fine?
Good Lord. Yes, sir. I had to go over there for her. I would.
I would go ahead and take that flight, and that's like a 15-17 hour flight.
I would do it.
You know what I'm saying? She was a young girl.
I don't care. She turned out to be Dracula's wife. I don't care. I'll be burned right up under.
That nigga said Dracula will have to fight over that bitch.
You damn Skippy. I got garlic and I got a stick. What you saying?
Nigga, get out the plane with straight up garlic and holy water. What's up, nigga? What's up?
Exactly. I got a UV lamp, too. I see how that burned your ass come off of Blade.
That nigga said a UV lamp. He coming out like Blade.
Yeah, I got swords like him, too. So like, what's up?
You know what? That's one of the most underrated trilogies I've ever seen, because I love every one of the Blade movies.
I said that's one of the best vampire movies ever, period. Even though Wesley Snipes is dark as hell, I still fuck with him. I'm sorry.
Wait a minute, that's my man. You can't talk about nobody. He my friend because he dark like me.
I'm dark too. That's why I can say it. I'm proud.
I'm gonna say, well, okay. Well, I get along with nothing but dark skinned men. I seek them motherfuckers out. I be at the mall. It be a dark skinned nigga walking by himself. I be like, what's up, brother? He be like, shit, nothing. I be like, let's just walk around shop together. He be like, cool.
So that's the case. Y'all look like a moving alley because y'all stand up against a brick wall. What's going to happen? They're going to disappear. That's what happened.
Exactly. It's like dark skinned niggas are like mercury molecules. We just roll together, just come like a big old pack.
Yes.
We ain't got to know each other. Haven't you noticed that? We don't have to know each other. We could just we be at the train station. It'd be another nigga your color. That go to Mercury just getting together.
Yeah,
let's
go on there, bro. Not much. Let me get the port off. Yep, there you go, bro. You're talking about females and everything else.
Yeah, it'd be a lot of hoes up here. Man, shit, I've been coming up here about 3 weeks. It'd be hoes all over the place. Nigga, what you do for a living? Shit, I'd be fucking these hoes. That's about it.
And the sad thing is, I actually heard niggas say that, too.
Yes. I had a nigga tell me that. That's why all my jokes are real life. I had a nigga tell me, he said, I said, what you do for a living? That man said, fucking these hoes. That's about it.
Yeah. He said, I don't pay for shit. My bitches do. I'm like, really? So you don't do nothing but little bundles? I'm like, yep, because I give them a dick and they pay for my shit. That's how it works. I'm like, hey, I ain't mad at you. I couldn't do it.
So I say, I can't be mad at the nigga. I don't know how that worked, but it's like it's working.
Hey, my
brother
like
was like, I remember a nigga told me one time he had to go and pick his girl up from work in her car. I said, damn.
Yeah, that definitely sort of sound like my brother, because he did do that. He finds bitches that got cars and houses, move right in up with them, take all their stuff, don't do near not a thing around the house, just be fucking the shit out of them, and they be loving it. They pay for everything. They listen to him. No problems whatsoever.
My girl got tired of that after a while. She pulled me to the side one day when I was trying to get some pussy. She said, this getting old. You need to pay a bill.
And the minute they say that, he ends up bringing in another bitch. And the thing about it is, the way how he do it is so slick. He will actually go out somewhere in her car, pick the bitch up, and say, yeah, this is supposed to be my cousin or whatever, but turn around, like, no, this is a bitch I'm fucking. You can get the hell on out. We can go out of our business. Smooth like that.
So well, that's one thing I believe in. I believe you got to know what home is, even if you're going to step out. But you're right. When she said that she would get something sharp, it kind of scared me.
Yeah. Like I said, I grew up. My aunts told me this. My family, my family told me this. Never put your hands on a woman. But the moment they want to come at you like a man, they are no longer a woman, and they become a bitch, and you have the right to beat a bitch ass. Point blank. And I say
so I asked her a question. I asked her a question. Maybe you can answer it. I asked her about men and the backlash that's starting to happen, that men are getting tired. I get pissed off when I look on the news and I see this motherfucking man done got railroaded by a chick I know is lying. That Casey Anthony chick, that chick was straight up lying, talking about my daddy used to put his dick in my mouth. You would say something foul like that about your daddy. Now he got to walk around the rest of his life, the man who put dick in children's mouth, but you get out free. And that there's actually a justice system would listen to this.
And to me, that sounds like a bunch of bullshit, because how does that is relevant to whatever you actually did?
Thank you.
Because you're trying to sit there and use that lot, that's nothing but an emotional response. Just saying, okay, that's basically saying, okay, I'm going down the street, somebody slapped me, and my emotional response is to kill them, but I'm like, oh, well, my father abused me, so that's why anytime somebody hits me, I have to slap fire with them. So that doesn't make any sense. That's an excuse in order to get out of what they did. And 9 times out of 10, they're going to get off.
And that's what makes me mad. Because me as a man, I mean, because she talked about how, and I believe that you can emotionally stress somebody the hell out and they can lash out. I believe that. But why is it that men never get a chance? Right, because why is it that men never get a chance? You know how many men done beat that woman's ass because she kept fucking with him?
Yeah, I know it. Because women don't understand that men have limits too. You keep pushing, you keep pushing somebody, eventually they're going to forget what's going to happen. They're going to black out and they're going to beat fuck out you. When they come back, they're going to like, I didn't mean to do that. But I kept warning you, stop touching me. If I go palm his apple on baby boy, his chick kept hitting him. He kept saying, stop hitting me. And he just lost it for a second, swung back, wow, stop hitting me. You're like, I did not mean to hit you.
And if you think about it, then next thing I know, I'm walking around the bathroom and shit, looking for the king's horses and all the king men, and they can't put your bitch ass together again because I done fucked you up.
Yeah. But in my opinion, sometimes women do need to get their ass beat in order for them to get back in line because they think that they're men, and I get tired of seeing that.
I hate to agree with you, brother, but I do believe at a certain extent in time, I think everybody should have the threat of violence over their head. Does that make sense?
Yes, because pain teaches you what not to do. I don't care what love said, pain will make you not do something.
I like
point
that.
Point blank.
That's
how I was raised. I did some stupid shit, I got my ass whooped. Flat out.
Yeah, if you knew you weren't going to never get your ass whooped, you'd just do stupid shit all day.
Exactly. Ass whooping saves lives. I'm being dead serious. I grew up old school. Ass whooping saves lives.
I like that. Let's bring in a woman to join us, see what she thinks about this. Let's bring in Jackie Burton to come in and join myself and Maurice. What's up, Jackie? Okay. Jackie. Take me to the other side of town. Jackie. That's what she said it is. Now let me go to Tora then. Tora, what's going on?
Hey, how you guys doing?
We're doing all right. Let me ask you. Hey, you on the phone with myself and Maurice. You heard what Maurice was saying. Do you have a reply to what he said? He said ass whooping save lives.
Right. He is absolutely right. I'm 23. I had a boyfriend. We were high school sweethearts, and I was the kind of chick that liked to open my mouth and just let loose. You couldn't tell me nothing. You couldn't do nothing because I was a foot taller than all the guys I knew. He was the only one that came at my eye level. And one day I stepped a toe out of line, and he looked at me and punched. He was walking me home. He did it every night like a perfect gentleman. I never asked him to. And I said one thing out of line. He put his fist into a pole and looked at me and said, that could be your face. I never said another word for the next 7 years.
Well, let me say this to you, too, because you got that New York accent. It sounds like you can get a nigga told. The laughter says it all.
I have never had a fight in my life because I'm quick with my mouth. You can't tell me nothing because 9 out of 10 times I've done my work, I've done my research. So if you come at me and I'm wrong, you are that very small 1 out of 10. But if I'm wrong, I will admit it. But I've had my way so long that when some dude finally walked up to me and said, I understand you have a point, but there's no need to be disrespectful. When I didn't want to hear that, he let me know, if you keep pushing me, I'm going to push back.
All right. Now, okay. Now I'm going to talk
like
to you.
I like you, the first woman, as she said.
I know, right?
Like
but this is one thing.
I like for a woman to admit when they wrong and not try to make up some bullshit excuse about, this ain't the case, or try to deflect and try to make it seem like you're bad
you
guy.
Forget. I said I was 16. I'm 23 now. I mean, I've learned that over time.
I understand that, but I'm 25, and that's the first time I ever heard that.
Sound like a match. Got a couple going on up in this bitch.
I mean,
oh no, that's all right.
That's all right, girl. See, that's what. Let me tell you what I want to do. What I want to start doing, I want to start hooking up some black folks. We need to get people together. We have a screwed up community, but we have a few people who are worth a damn. Those people need to start hooking up and connecting and at least talking. I'm dead serious. Because at a certain point in time, do you understand why the black community is so bad? Because when you got some good people, they fucking with hood rats. Or even when you got a good woman, she's fucking with a thug.
Yeah.
So
that
we're reproducing.
I didn't understand either.
Yeah, we're not even being able to reproduce with the people who are worth reproducing with.
Oh, Tommy, even just expound on that. We were together, we'll be together, 9 years now? 10 years?
Mm-hmm.
And decided, he thought it would be a good idea to fall out the tree and land on a different monkey. And I say monkey because she didn't go one until she had another.
Mm.
So mind you, he was working, not going to school, but I was in school. Now things are flipped. I find things out because of Facebook. She's so dumb. This monkey put her information, her address, although she is a mother of a child, mind you, the daddy's nowhere around. But he decides to hop on top of a monkey who has no education, no status in life. She is the hood rat that we all see in movies. She
mm-hmm.
is like from Baby Boy, that chick that was cheating with Tyrese.
Yep.
And so he decides to knock her up, not once, but twice. And then thought he could hide it from me. He got away with it for a year. Mind you, I was in the hospital. I was going through all of it. And so now she tells me this, and I go, okay, before I jump stupid, I'm going to call you and find out what really happened. The minute I mentioned this chick's name, he got scared and went, yeah, what happened? Well, I said, tell me the truth now before I lose my mind. Because let's remember that when I was 16, I had no common sense. I was sitting with her box cutters in her bra. I had bricks in my bag. I would lock and sock people. I didn't have to.
You've been talking like Eve. You sound just like Eve.
Not even that, but I was so down for my family where you curse out my little brother. You weren't dealing with just my little brother. You deal with me, my daddy, my mother, my grandma. The whole family came for you. Because if you didn't have a reason to come after one of us, you should have just left us alone. So I told him, give it to me straight, and I'll work with you. Because I already knew my shit stinks. I can't walk up to you and be like, all right, I'm mad about you, I'm going to leave you. I wasn't a saint. But because you told me the truth after the fact and had someone else tell it to me, you lose face. Why lie? You don't court. You been tiptoeing around me. You don't want to say nothing to me. School's messing up. Work is messing up. I'm about my money. So when
well,
your
let me
money
say this
funny,
to you.
I ask questions.
Let me say this to you. You sound sexy as hell, and I would really like to give it to you straight one day.
I was going to say the same damn thing. Okay, so I wonder what you look like.
I will give it to you straight. I'm telling you, I promise.
Well, I can't do that. I'm going to fuck around and get myself in trouble.
You know what I'm saying? Let me ask you guys this, both of you, and I'm going to go back to you, Maurice. I'm gonna ask you. We're talking about this idea of how lies and deception can ruin a relationship and just basically destroy any kind of relationship. I want you to give us an example of how either you lied or somebody lied to you, and it was literally the end of the relationship. Then I'm going to go back to Tora because I want to ask her about why she thinks the guy actually jumped to this other monkey. Go ahead.
Well, in my case, when it concerns women, I'm never the one to cheat because I feel like if you're going to cheat, you never going to be with the person. I understand you may have other desires, and you see other people that look attractive. You can look but don't touch. But if you feel like you're going to touch him, you should go ahead and leave. But my thing is this. Why lie about it? I mean, anytime I tell people I'm dealing with somebody, I tell them flat out, look, you need to be careful what you ask me because I'm going to tell you the truth. And 9 times out of 10, from what my experiences were, women cannot deal with the truth. The moment they hear the truth, they flip out and go off on a whole other level. And it's like, Why are you getting upset at me for a choice that you made? You asked me to tell you the truth. I told you what it was, but then they're going to blow up in my face over me being honest. So it's like either be damn telling the truth or sit there and tell a pretty lie and have her sit there and be all cool about it. And sometime down the line, she found out she was lying. They say, well, why did you lie? So I know you're going to act like this.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah. So both of you guys ran into the same thing. I'm going to go back to Tora and ask her, because you guys had the same thing, that somebody basically stepped out on you. What do you think made him go to somebody that you consider, and you're saying by all standards, the person was lower of status, and they had a child when you didn't? Why do you think they went to that person?
Because there were things in life that I did not accept. If you're not working, you must be in school. If you're not in school, you must be working. It's one or the other. There is no third option. If you're, unless you're disabled or dead, there's no reason you should not be doing something constructive. I live in a two-parent house, and my parents will take slack off of me. I got one F. I've been in school. I went to preschool. I was in the gifted program. I had three Fs in my whole life, and they came when I got to college. There was no such thing as failing and not getting back up. If you busted your butt, you got up. So for the fact that he had to step out, he went to someone who would accept the bull. They would accept the drinking, the smoking, the whole nine.
Wait. I got to stop you there, because the psychologist is in the building. You said he went to somebody that would accept the BS.
Yeah.
But if he was your man for 7 years, you were accepting it too.
No. There was none of that around me. If he did manage to do it, he did it when I couldn't see it.
So how do you know he was doing it now?
Because I called him a couple months before that. Like, I found out in August 2012. Somewhere around like June, July, he started acting real funny. He smelled like Black and Mild. He smelled like tequila. And I said, excuse me, we had a conversation about 2 years before we got attacked. Like, what are you doing in life? You smoking and drinking again? Because suddenly I couldn't see you as often. Like, things were not on schedule. Like, I used to see you at least once, twice a week, depending on our work schedule. Now I see you once every 2 weeks. Oh, I'm asking questions. I am from Why Did I Get Married? I am Angela. I want to know what happened to the gas. If you spent $50, how come you need more money for more gas? What are you doing with
that?
That's
a bit too crazy.
If
you got to monitor everything a man is trying to do, then you're trying to be the man yourself. That's just me personally.
No. That's not what I mean. I mean, for instance, if I go to work at 9 and I'm at home by 12 midnight, he's worried. So if you want that from me, I expect the same from you. You can't have me stuck in a house somewhere and then you be running the streets. Common courtesy. If you don't want to worry
but
about
you also
me, I don't
can't
worry
have
about
a,
you.
Let me say this, though. You also can't have a relationship based on eye for an eye.
Well, I don't want eye for an eye, but, for instance, if you want to be out till 2 o'clock in the morning, that's cool with me. But if you don't have a car, you don't have any money, I'm going to worry about how you're going to get home.
Have to understand, I hear what you're saying, but you do have to admit, you put up with some bullshit. You can't be with somebody for 7 years and not know that they just doing the shit that they doing. That's unbelievable.
See, what I noticed after a while was it would be little things. Like, I'd catch it early, and then it would just disappear. But this thing I didn't catch because I wasn't around. I spent so much time in the hospital or with my nose in a book that it completely went over my head. So by the time I caught it, it was a massive problem. He went CIA.
Well, don't you think
me.
That one of the reasons he might have – well, it sounds like one of the reasons you guys might have broken up was because, well, there wasn't much communication. From what you're saying – I mean, if there's not much communication, my nose is always in the book, or I'm either working or I'm in the hospital, then and I'm doing this so much that I couldn't even notice what he was doing. Well, that's one of the biggest reasons why people aren't in relationships, because you don't really have time for me.
Oh, see, I get that. I completely understand that. But I told him after I found out everything, I said, if you were that unhappy, you could have been a common courtesy. Like, what was it? We were 2021 or whatever it was. And I was so focused on moving out, doing what I want to do in life. He sat me down one day and said, we need to talk. You don't talk to me. You don't do nothing with me. So either we break up and you go about your business, or we sit down and we get back in touch. So what was different this time around is what I asked him. I said, if you felt like you were being pushed, he goes, oh, no, I didn't feel like I was being pushed inside. But he told me word for word, I took advantage of the fact that you were busy. I said, what do you mean? I said, did you feel neglected? He goes, no. He goes, whenever I called you, you picked up. I said, so what was the problem? He goes, I just wanted to go out and do nonsense, and I knew you would not approve of it. I said, so you can go on your merry way, then don't call my phone no more. I said, so you're telling me you just did nonsense because not only you weren't neglected, you didn't feel left out, you were just bored. He goes, yes. I said, oh, my apologies. I'm sorry I took a year off. In that year, you went out and did nonsense. If you're that unhappy, do us both a favor and just walk to the left. I'll go to the right.
So the first time he told you.
That's from a female, too. A female said T.I. bored with me.
Well, I want to know. I guess I'm wondering, though, if they had the conversation once before, what changed when he told you he feel like he's not getting enough attention? What did you do to change?
I would make time limits for myself. Like, I would notice that if I got involved in a project, I would just run on for hours. I would set a timer for myself. Like, basically teach you with the SATs, study for 2 hours, take a break. I gave myself a limit. If I didn't get done that limit, then it's a cutoff. Because by the time I got home, I was either arguing with somebody, I had a headache. I took my work home with me. You don't deserve that. You're not the reason my head hurts, so what am I taking it out on you for? So once I cut my time down, I had a reason to go pick up the phone and say, hi, how you doing, what's going on?
All right, well, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to get my man Mr. Gates to come in. Do I want him to come in now, or do I want to wait for after the break? I'll bring him in now and then bring him back in after the break. I'm going to bring in Mr. Gates. There's a lot I want to talk to him about. But I know he might have a thought or two about what you guys are talking about. What's up, Mr. Gates?
What's cracking, Layton? How are you?
I'm all right. Ladies and gentlemen, if you guys don't know, HaterRozzy.com is in the house. Talk to him. You heard what the young lady just said. She just spoke and said that, and in my opinion, I think a lot of this stuff is stuff that was there. You remember when I talked to Laura when she was on the phone, and we talked about a lot of stuff that people, you just hide it or you will ignore it, but it's there. It's not like it was a surprise. What do you think?
Well, you know what? Refresh me what she just said. I'll be honest. I'm arguing with somebody on Facebook right now.
This nigga's arguing like you.
I'm sorry. Refresh my memory on what her stance was.
Well, it's a long-standing thing. So here's what we're going to do. Ms. Gates, I'm going to let you argue because I want you to be my featured guest at the 11 o'clock hour. So when I come back, I want to bring you back at the 11 o'clock hour because you and I got a lot to talk about. So you want to do that?
Absolutely.
All right, so in 15 minutes, I'm bringing you back. I'm bringing Mr. Gates. He's going to be my featured guest on the show. And right now, I'm going to bring in, oh, my God, I got both of them on the line. No way. I got Jason Black on the line. What up, Jay?
Black first, brother.
The Black.
You heard her? You see what you did, Jason? You made that woman get wet.
Ew. Well, she's not going to be liking me here in just a moment.
I'm nowhere near the Bronx.
Well,
I am from
thank
Queens.
You very much.
Find royalty.
I'm very glad to have made a good impression on you with my voice because you're probably not going to like what you're going to hear from here on in.
Go ahead, Mr. Black.
And I mean this with all due respect. I've heard everything that's gone down so far. Point number one, this person sounds very structured. Got to be very careful about that because I don't think she picked up structure 3 years ago. By her own admission, she was tight as a drum at 16, which means they like to keep a grip on things. Number two, nobody just pops up one day smoking weed and drinking on you. So 6 years old,
you're
not talking about, no, it never, everybody always says that's the way it happens. And then when you look at what was going on the whole time, you talk to everybody else and it was, no, we saw it the whole time. Loving eyes see what they want to see until they just can't take it anymore. You know, like when two baby mamas pop up, then all of a sudden it's become intolerable here. Number three, she's very calculating. Now, when a person is calculating, and that's, I'm not saying that is necessarily a bad thing. That's good for an employee, and that's good for a contractor. Is that necessarily good for the person you want to lay down with? Number four, when you take all of those things into account, and I'm not going to say this is necessarily her case. I'm just going to say that, you know, I would not be surprised, however, in our day and age, women look for a man who is inferior to them. No job, no schooling. He didn't just jump up one day like that. He didn't just pick up a weed habit at 22. He didn't just pick up chasing after hood rats and ratchets at 23. That is a pattern of behavior, but we like to play with fire and tell ourselves, well, this fire is controllable. I'll just do my thing until one day we get burned and we scream bloody murder about it. So I'm not saying she's not a bad person or anything like that. I'm just saying that when a person is this smart and this sharp, you're going to have a very heavy lift to convince anybody that something snuck up on you.
Oh, no. I'm not even going to say it snuck up on me. I was sitting one day and I said, oh, that's not so bad. Wait, huh? When did that happen? Damn, I missed it. And that's when everything just fell down and I went, shit. That's exactly what
I think what happened was here's what happens, and you can tell me if I'm wrong, Mr. Black Authority, for those who don't know, he's in the house. I think what happens is a lot of women play this game as if, as long as I still have you, I can tolerate what you're doing. Whenever you leave me or whatever, then that's when they come up with this, he's like a bad guy. Have you noticed that? Like, I've never had a discussion with a woman that said, you know, I was a piece of crap. I can understand why he cheated. I can understand why he left. Or I can understand why I'm by myself. I've never heard a woman say, you know what, I'm not good in a relationship. Why do you think this is something you – I hear white women say it. I've never heard a black woman say it. Why do you think that is?
I'll go even beyond that, brother. Beyond that right there, what you just said, that's a good starting point. Beyond that, birds of a feather flock together. And what we tend to tell ourselves is, well, I'm a hawk, he's a falcon, so either we're the same or we're diametrically different. But I don't think so. Because when, as she stated, you know, I would get up in your face, and my family would get up in your face, and my brothers and sisters. I know this episode. It's World Star Hip Hop. I've seen this show before. And now you're going to tell me that the baby mamas are not the part of the same gene pool? Yeah, this is all part of the same type of, dare I say it, ratchet type behavior. We're saying, well, I speak more articulately than they do, and I go to school or I have a job, so I'm different from them. Really? Are you sure? Because baby mamas to the side, isn't this really the same kind of behavior? Isn't it really the same?
Answer that, Tora, because I'm with him. I know a lot of women who say, I don't have kids and I'm in school, hence I'm better than them hood rats. I'm like, no, you're just an educated, childless hood rat.
No. I already know. I'm a subset. I act a little bit better, but I, like I just said, I had no behavior at 16. I know better. When he met me, that's the thing that threw me. Because people used to tell me, I don't see how you have a boyfriend. He's so nice. He's so quiet. I said, you don't know him like I know him. Trust me. We're not that far apart. I'm just obvious about my bullshit.
Well, that's another thing right there. He's so nice. He's so quiet. All due respect, you're anything but quiet. You're just like me. So, I mean, that seems to be a bit of an, I guess that would be opposites attracting. But then again, why would you want someone who was so different from yourself personality-wise?
Because at the time when we met, he calmed my nonsense down. He would be the person to come in and go, okay, I understand you're upset, but you can't scream at everybody like that. You sound ghetto. He was the only one I knew who, one, would check me, and two, who I listened to. So later on, when the nonsense started, I went, you know what, I can give him some credit. When I had my nonsense going on, it's like that tit for tat. When I acted foolish, you stuck by me, so I'm going to try to stick by you through your nonsense. But then I went, wait, at 23, I don't have to stick by this nonsense. Oh, wait, no. If there's a difference between cursing somebody out and putting your hands on them. There's a difference between flirting with somebody and then cheating. Like, there's a level of insanity.
Is there really?
Stop it. There is.
Is there really a difference? Is that really a difference? There's a difference between flirting and cheating. Seriously?
You know what I mean?
Really?
It's the level of the nonsense. I mean, at a certain age, you have to stop accepting certain nonsense. At 16, if I see someone I'm dating flirting with someone, that's one thing. But at 23, if I'm trying to get married, that's something I
should. Let me say this, though. Hold on. This is what Jason's saying. If I'm flirting at 16 and I'm with you and it's okay, if we're together at 23, I'm probably still with you and still flirting because it hasn't changed our relationship, so why would I change my behavior?
You knew that that's where I was when you met me, so why should I alter
it? I have no reason to alter. As a matter of fact, have you noticed that most men and most women do better when they leave the person they're with because they're forced to change behaviors?
Now, this dude was probably not, you know, very much to look at now, was he?
I don't really know. To be honest, when we first started, I wasn't that much into the outward appearance of people, because I grew up.
No, we're just saying, looking back now. If you look back at now, I mean, this is all revisionist history. Look back. If you look at a picture of him now, is he just this handsome guy?
No, he's a whole lot smaller. He's scrawny as everything. Lord help me.
That's what he's saying.
Okay, well, I'm referring to when you met him.
No, I'm saying, when we met, we were both scrawny. We were both those wallflowers that no one really spoke to. We weren't the pretty people. I was allowed to make up for the fact that I was a wallflower. He was quiet because no one spoke to him, so he blended into the background. When you noticed him, people thought, oh, he's cute. But he could stand in the crowd, and nobody would speak to him and notice him.
Now that's what I was just waiting for. Now, did you hear what she just said? People said, oh, he's cute. Now, I was waiting for that to come up. Sorry, Tommy, I had to do a little bit of reverse psychology there, but that's the point that I was waiting for right there. Because, you see, when you're 16, you don't have any bills of your own. So if you're taking a lot of garbage off of someone, you're taking it because, of course, it's in a relationship. You're getting something out of it. especially if you string on for a while. And what we usually find is that the guy is a type of guy that, wait for it, he's the kind of guy that the females tend to consider cute, so more than one female is after him, and pretty soon it simply becomes a contest of, well, I got him and you don't. And how many people are at Tommy's practice that are in their 30s and 40s or older and have been playing that game since high school? And why can't I get a good man?
Damn.
Silent but deadly.
I'm glad I got me a free session. That's all I care about. Shit. In this economy.
What I like about her, though, this is one thing I'm telling you, every woman can learn. She is not taking offense to anything she's heard.
Yes, and that's a great thing about her. Number one, she's saying what she thinks and everything, whether you agree with it or not, but she's at least telling the truth according to her.
Thank you.
And she's not combative about it. She is the kind of person now, we all got faults and whatnot, but she's the kind of person who can actually, you can work with someone like that. So it kind of,
yep.
Now she's kind of leveling us out, because if she wants to win us over to her side, she's kind of succeeding because her behavior is showing more than anything else. You can tell us what you are all day, but your behavior is going to tell us what you really are. So her demeanor about that really makes it a lot easier to believe some of what she's saying.
Because, you know, by now I would have bombed on somebody, but I can't bomb on her because she makes it to where we call it disarming.
Yeah.
She disarms you by every time you say, and you do this, and she says, yeah, you're right.
It takes
now she's really
going
to have the dudes knocking the door in.
No, but here's the thing, though. If you're a combative person like I was at 16, you learn a lot. You learn early. You burn a lot of bridges. You ruin a lot of relationships. So if you want to build a relationship, you want to get to know people, you have to change. I'm in a social work field. I can't be walking around angry all the time. I work in a court system. I see what you're the stereotypical black man with the ghetto chick. I know a man who pays for his kid, pays for the house, and he cannot live in that house because she has a case against him. I know a chick that has three kids, all by the same guy, but he's in prison. Like, I can't walk around doing things like that and then tell my clients you should do better if I'm not attempting to do better. Lead by example,
The thing about doing better, though, it's easier said than done.
That is true, but I appreciate someone who attempts to at least do better.
Yes.
I hate the women whom I caught off friends I've known since I was 10 because she wants to sleep around. And I said, I can't be friends with you because people think I'm a hoe like you. And their relationship was done. People said, but you've known her for so long. I said, but you're known by the company you keep.
And people do a bad job of sleeping
in a way like that.
People do a bad job of sleeping around. I knew some hoes in college, but everybody thought they were upstanding because they did a better job of sleeping around. I think I let
Thank
a certain
you.
Point in time. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You can like dick and not be stupid. Why do people think the two are the same?
There's a difference.
I knew a lot of white hoes in college who had no kids.
Thank
I knew a lot of black women with a bunch of kids who said they weren't hoes. The numbers wasn't adding up. So
well,
you're not a hoe,
probably,
you're just irresponsible. She's a hoe, but she's responsible. Who would you rather marry?
When you're an attention whore, it's more than just being a sexual whore. What we're really having is an epidemic of attention whoreism. And when
yes.
you're an attention whore, you will do anything to get attention. You will just constantly be doing more outlandish things, and the next
yep.
outlandish thing has to be even more outlandish because you can't get the same level. Guys, MTV's Jackass, you know. I mean, every stunt has to be more outlandish than the last, simply to get the same ratings, not bigger ratings, the same ratings that you got last week. And this attention whoreism, I mean, black females went from sleeping with a bunch of people to getting tattoos all over themselves for what?
Oh,
get attention.
Yeah.
To wearing their breasts popping out for what? To get attention. Now the tattoos weren't enough. I need piercings all over the place for what? To get, you look better. You look horrible with the tattoos. I need piercings. Why? To get more attention. Why? Because, not because it makes you look better, but because it gets more attention than the last stunt did. And pretty soon it just becomes this feeding frenzy, this reckless race to get more attention no matter what. So I got, no, the tattoos don't work anymore. Get a baby. Ooh, that doesn't work anymore. Get two. Get three. Okay, nobody likes that anymore. Okay, threaten suicide. Jump on a baller somewhere. Can you just trap somebody? Carjacking. It just keeps snowballing until eventually you're 36 years old and you're through. You're ruined. You're finished. And hopefully you're 24 and wake up.
But that's the fun part. They just don't know they're through yet, though.
Because it's a family tradition now. I mean,
but
grandma is 37 years old.
Over.
I mean, because that is the age of the average black grandmother today is 37 to 42. So grandma is 37 years old. She's through. Mom is 22 with three kids. She's through. It's a family tradition now. So it's very hard to have a point of reference of elevation when the whole when your elders, the people who are supposed to be setting the moral standard of your community, are wore the hell out and they are trash, not to be emulated or imitated in any shape, form, fashion, or manner. Very hard to set a moral standard for your society when the elders ain't worth a damn.
Yeah, I was blessed to actually have my elders. I grew up with them. Like I said earlier, I grew up old school. You know, I had my grandma and grandpa. He sat me down to tell me stuff. Let me know when I was fucking up, when I was doing stuff right.
Well, you know, it's kind of hard to tell somebody. It's kind of hard to tell somebody that, you know, you can't have a successful life chasing hoes, and then you got Bill Clinton in the White House with interns. I mean, it's like, well, I can be president. You know, I can chase hoes and be president. You'll never be anything smoking weed and chasing hoes. Four words, Bill Clinton, Snoop Dogg. So what you mean I can't be a successful? You chase hoes and smoke weed, both of them do. I mean, it's hard to start making an argument then.
Well, what I find more debilitating is there's no one who thinks you can do better. Just because you don't see it, why can't you have the imagination to even think you can get there to some degree?
Hey, guys, I tell you what. I think he's right, and here's what I want to do. I want to bring you guys back after the break and bring everybody else, too. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to go into the break. For everybody out there, the number is 347-989-8310. For everybody that's on the line, it would be smart if you hang up before I do and call back before I do. The number is 347-989-8310. Hang up the phone, call back in, because for some reason, as soon as I go to the break, it's going to knock y'all off. So hang up right now and call back in to make sure you don't get locked out, because the lines are full. So if the lines are full, that means that people have already called in. So if you're smart, you're going to hang up and go over there with them instead of worrying about me. We're going to play a little music when we come back, and then we're going to get the second half of the show started. We're going to have a small break today because we got a lot of phone calls, and we're going to get to all of them because I'm going to give it to you guys like you asked for it on Friday. You want to be able to talk, I'm going to let you talk. The number is 347-989-8310. You know who I am. You know what this is. This is Your World.
Stay tuned for more Your World, My Views, the realest show on internet radio, with your host, Tommy Sotomayor.
Hey guys, if you're listening on live stream, all of the other whatever it is, go take your break. It's going to say offline for a little while. If you listen on Blog TV, go take your break. It's going to say offline. Then it's going to come right back up. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.